Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic X Journey Man, your host here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. And if you're going to sit here and go over the whole thing real quick, let's do it. So if you want to give a call in here, get a reading. We have a lot of people in the queue, so let me go over this real quick and we'll get to you. The number is 646-721-9031. Also, in the chat room, if you're in the chat room and you'd like to ask a question, please do so. We'll answer all kinds of questions from the chat room too as well. If you want it to be a private thing, then tell us that too as well. Okay, so like we said before, hello, welcome. For free readings, give us a call at 646-721-9031. And for private readings, give me a call at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699. Or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And for Christmas special, any reading for only a dollar a minute. So call now and schedule your appointment because things are booking up pretty quickly for the holiday season. So if you want to get in there and get a reading for only a dollar a minute, any variation, 75 minutes, 45 minutes, all a dollar a minute for every reading. So if you get a 25 minute, that's $25 for 25 minutes, $35 for 35 minutes, $75 for 75 minutes, and so on and so on. Even the 90 minute sessions. Dollar a minute, which is usually between $125 and $135 for a 90-minute session. But for the holiday season, you can get that for a dollar a minute, too. We also do healings, 90 minutes and 60-minute and 30-minute healings, too, as well. We also do distant healings. We can also work on Skype if you choose to. We can also do the readings there, too. We do palm readings, angel card readings, past life readings. Let's see what else. We also do parties. If you have a Christmas party, you're doing that kind of thing, you want us to be there, please give us a call. We have a special on the Christmas parties, too, as well, where it's usually $150 flat fee for parties and even group readings. That's five to ten of your friends where you can do a group reading. But for this month, actually through the holiday season, it's only $75. So give us a call. We also work with children. We also do relationship counseling. And we do it from a different level in the process of actually looking for solutions, not looking for two people to split up and go to different directions. Because I guarantee if we look at the situation, I'm pretty sure we can correct the things and bring it closer together before the sessions are over with. Okay, we also do life coaching. And we also work with children. So if you're parents who have a gifted child but end up don't really know how to approach that situation, we can help you too as well. If you like, we can work with a child personally, one-on-one. And that can all be done through Skype, the phone, or in person. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, please drop by. We actually have a shop now, which is in Manitou Springs at 946 and a half, right next to the Flying Eagle in Manitou Springs on the main stretch on Manitou Avenue. So check up. Realistically, with our hours is between noon and 6. Sometimes we try to hang out until 7, depends on the weathering. But we have a nice little space there, so just come on up. We have a nice little space where you can actually do readings inside and that kind of stuff like that, too. We have a tendency to open the door and do readings from the door, too, as well, doing prom readings and stuff like that. But if you're a person who's looking for privacy, we have it, too, so therefore, come on in. Anyway, we've been there for about 3 or 4 weeks, so anybody in the Colorado Springs area, Old Colorado City, Manitou Springs. If you're in Colorado and you can actually make it up here to Manitou Springs, you're planning on visiting, please stop by. Love to sit here in a big old banner right next to the Flying Eagle t-shirt shop. Psychic ex-journeyman doing the readings. So let's get to our callers. What do you say? I'm actually trying to sit here. So if you're in the chat room and if you wanted to ask any questions, please do so. We will check from time to time. All right, so keep up with us. All right, let's get to the situation here. It's like, if you want to change and reduce your price on your monthly, on your phone bill, on your cell phone bill, you should try out Straight Talk. That's www.straighttalk.com and check them out. They got some nice phones. They got Android phones too as well. And it's one of those, it's a little bit different where you actually buy the phone and your plans are only going to cost you $45 a month for unlimited texting, phone texting, and internet. Okay? Or you can get the one for the 30, I think it's $35, $30 or $35, where that one is 1,000 minutes, 1,000 texting, and the same thing for the information on the internet. But like I said before, I mean, I know for a fact that my bill was $150 a month. And then I switched to Straight Talk, and I still have the same kind of Android phone, applications, the whole bit. I've actually used my phone for credit card transactions at my shop. So it's very versatile and everything else I get. So Straight Talk can be just like any other company. If you use your phone for business and that kind of stuff, which I do quite a bit, it'd be great for those things. So check it out, www.straighttalk.com, and check it out for yourself. Also, we have this thing where I always recommend these CDs and actually go on these websites too and actually get some MP3 downloads, which a company called BrainSync and HemiSync. HemiSync CDs are actually nice CDs for meditations and that kind of stuff, and they have a nice little tone, and the technology is a little bit different than subliminal, but they do also have a combination of both. So check it out, and you can actually have these downloads, which you can get the CDs if you like, but you can actually have them downloaded to your computer in less than minutes for, I think, about half the price. Anyway, check that out too. That's www.hemisync.com, and I think it's one of those things. I actually recommend these CDs highly if you're trying to take care of some things, situations, sleeping, looking for ways to meditate, anything like that. They have CDs that can help you with anything. They actually have a CD set that can actually help people to focus on the ideal using your thoughts to actually cure cancer. So check that one out too as well. Now, another company is called www.brainsync.com. Now, this is subliminal downloads, but check them out anyway. I actually have both companies I've actually worked for and get some great results with certain things I've been working with and the ideal of just changing your perceptions on actually being more successful at manifesting exactly what you want. They actually have, HemiSync has them, and also I think BrainSync has them too, where they actually have CDs where you can focus on wealth, changing your perception so you can attract more to you in all areas of your life. So check those out, okay? It's www.hemisync.com and www.brainsync.com. So check those out. Let's see. Let's go to our first caller, which is area code 229. Welcome to the show, and how are you? And what's your name?
Yes. This is Melvin.
Hey, Melvin, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I just wanted to see, can I get a little update on what's going on with this young lady we talked about?
Oh, yeah. So what was her name again?
Sir?
What was her name again?
Her name is Clooney.
Clooney?
Yes, sir.
And since the last time I talked, I mean, has there been any changes or anything like that?
No, sir. She haven't called or texted me or anything. I don't know if she left and went to stay with her sister in Atlanta or not. I'm not sure.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. My sister picked up on the whole thing. He's saying no, she hasn't. It's almost like she's under the wire, but she'll come up soon.
So she's still here in the same hometown?
I get the impression, yes, she is. And I also get the impression that you should be hearing from her.
Is
really?
She what now?
You should be hearing from her anytime.
Okay.
Because realistically, when I pick up the situation, I would not be surprised to hear from her in the next week and a half.
Okay.
Have you guys ever spent the holidays together before?
Sir?
Have you guys spent the holidays together before?
Yeah, we have before, a year ago. You know, one time we spent, like, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's together. She stayed here. But Thanksgiving this year, no one wasn't here. So I don't know if she'll be back maybe before Christmas.
The impression I get is yes.
Okay.
There seems to be some kind of drawing there.
Sir?
There seems to be some kind of drawing in that situation where she's being... What I mean by drawing means... that's why I was asking the question about what you guys had done with the holidays before, because he seems to be drawn to that.
Do you still spend Christmas together?
I keep getting yes. It's one of those variations of situations, too. I mean, shoot, I keep picking up on yes. And I also get...
Yeah, why she won't answer the phone or answer my text when I call her?
Why won't she answer you?
Yes, sir.
Well, I keep focusing on the situation where I keep getting a person who's just not ready to communicate, almost like a really strong impression she doesn't know what to say.
She's still mad with me?
No, I don't get the impression she's mad at you. Just a lot of hesitation on what to say.
Oh, man.
I could get him. Yeah.
I hope she's okay.
I get the impression she's okay and she's fine.
Okay. I mean, she's seeing someone else?
I get no.
Okay. That's, I did call her job yesterday, and I didn't get an answer. Well, they said she wasn't in. She was working at this convenience store. Is she, you know, still employed there, or she even gave it up?
Is that where you called?
Yes, sir, at the convenience store where she works at. She works at night, like, you know, from 12 a.m. until 8 in the morning a.m. But I called, and the lady said that she wasn't there. The way she sounded like she's not there anymore. The way she didn't say it, but I'm not sure if she still worked there or not.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Actually, I get the impression she's not working there anymore.
Man. I wonder why she quit her job. They didn't fire her, did they?
Let's see. I get the impression she did get fired.
Oh, my God.
It seems like in some sense of the word, she has a tendency to be mouthy.
Mouthy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's her. Yes, sir.
And then she had a tendency. Yeah, she came in there, like, the way it came to me was she had words with somebody she shouldn't have, and
With the manager, employee or something? I mean, a customer?
Well, I get the impression she gets mouthy with a lot of customers. I keep getting more of a manager kind of thing, where she kind of, like, you know.
Okay.
It's like getting mouthy with a customer that kind of, like, really ticked her off, and then having words with the manager not too soon afterwards, what she did. She was already out of control anyway.
Yeah. Well, has she lost her car yet? Or will she lose it? I hope she don't. Yeah. She has a car.
I get the impression, though. She didn't lose it.
Okay. Okay. Yes, sir. So she, you said she'll be contacting me about any time soon? Pretty soon?
That week. Yeah, but I keep seeing within the next week and a half.
And that will be like for what? To just talk or to move back in?
Well, the way it comes to me right now is the idea of having a conversation and talking, and then not too soon after moving in.
Moving back in?
Yes.
Okay. Because she's supposed to go to Atlanta. I thought she had left town and went to Atlanta to stay with her sister for the holiday. She haven't. So you said that she's still here in town? She didn't go?
I get the impression she's still in town.
Okay. I just need to ask you, if I can, I know how much time I have, but I need to ask you about my job. Yes, sir. I work at a hospital at night, and it's a mental hospital that I work at. I'm a HST technician, and I'm having some, I work very hard there. Some of the supervisors, it's two ladies and a guy, they over me, the charge nurses. And it seems like to me they're not being honest the way they handle the job. But I applied for another job to be a lead HST, a supervisor. Why they treat me this way, and will I be able to get this job that I applied for? I'm already doing the same work. I just want to be a lead. I will?
Yeah, I get the impression you will, definitely.
Okay, how soon is that? Because I've been put in an application submitted for a lead HST job.
Let's see. I get the impression that something falls into place afterwards. I keep getting it. After the first of the year.
Oh, okay. But why is my why some of the supervisors? Do you need their names?
No, the impression I get is something you shouldn't worry about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the idea like this: these people might treat you. It's not like a vendetta they have against you. It's just who they are.
Okay.
It's almost like an insecurity playing itself out. Where I have to control everybody else. And the idea of denouncing you to make myself look good because I'm just an idiot.
Okay. Yeah.
And people don't say that to themselves, but they have a tendency to treat everybody else the same way.
Yeah.
And I keep getting the focus that you need to be focused on is changing things, and changes in your life. So therefore, focusing on them just actually takes you away from where you really should be focusing.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. And is it in the way I can call you after the show? I want to talk to you about what we talked about.
Yes.
After the
show. Yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
I'll give you a call then. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
God bless. Thank you.
Bye bye. You too. Happy holidays. Let's see. Let's go on to our next caller, which is area code 843, welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Pooja.
Your name is, say it again.
Pooja.
Pooja?
Yes.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So, with the situations and things unfolding, how can we help you tonight?
I would just love a message, whatever's coming through. I feel like things are shifting and, new beginnings coming and stuff like that. I just really want a message, something that, really helps.
Well, the situation is, you're right. Things are changing, new beginnings. In the process of those new beginnings, you have to also listen to yourself in the process of connecting with your guides. Because it's one of those situations as we go into further into this month. Actually, we're getting close to the end, but still, the idea of listening to your guidance, which is the idea of clairaudience, to listen, So therefore, you always know what to do each time you have to make a decision what to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As we go into the Christmas season, because the idea, we look at the ideal holidays and that kind of stuff, people need to start really listening to themselves, what they should be doing, what they love, and the ideal giving because they love to give and that's what they want to do. Not because, ooh, I got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
If you start getting into the I got it thing, and then you kind of ruin the whole thing with the idea of enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. It's the idea of listening to oneself. In the process, I have a friend of mine, actually I have an ex-wife who wants to go out and buy something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also one of those things where it feels like you have to do it. Or how is people going to look at me? And it's one of those situations of realizing that I think it's kind of crazy to buy for an uncle you never see. That you don't know who he is. You just know you have an uncle. And the idea of sending someone to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he hasn't interacted with you. It's just the idea of the situation of focusing on immediate family first. And the one thing I get the most is the idea of people who have a tendency to take the rent money and make sure their kids are going to have Christmas, and then after the first year, you got to worry about evictions.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a contradiction to realize that your children, in some sense of the word, maybe things are playing out so they can actually appreciate what they got, which means a roof over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you start to look at the situation, the messages, that's the one I keep getting the most, is the idea of listening to yourself. It also talks about things are looking up, things look very good for you. Have patience at this time. There's a lot of things that could be working against you where you feel like they're just temporary situations that will definitely play themselves out, given the patience to just go with the move. You know what I'm saying?
So just kind of go with the flow of it?
Yeah, because it's like this, you know, it's like sometimes when you get yourself caught up in a situation, you should look at yourself and ask yourself, what would you be doing at that moment?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of sitting there worrying.
Okay.
Like if you're sitting there and it's 2:00 in the morning and there's realistically nothing you can do,
mm-hmm.
you don't sit there and worry.
Mm-hmm.
You go to sleep. That's what I'm saying about the idea of listening to yourself and saying, okay, what should I be doing right now? There's nothing you can do at 2:30 in the morning, but sleep. Which will actually make you better in the mornings because you'll be nice and rested to make better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, well, the things that you got going in your life right now, which I can see at least 2 or 3 things, it just says be patient and they will definitely work themselves. It's like go with the flow and they will be, they're just temporary situations that will change very quickly. You definitely get a very strong focus on abundance coming in very quickly.
Yeah, I keep seeing this green light, like, flashing at me from different places and different areas, and I used to always think that it was a guy associated with a man, but now I'm starting to think that it's something else.
Yeah, you get a really strong impression with Archangel Raphael in the process of healing, and the process of healing with things within yourself,
mm-hmm.
Perceptions, you know, the idea of how you look at money, to realize that money is like a car.
Mm-hmm.
It can be manifested as easy. It's just that. We have a tendency to put money in a different perspective. Like, you know, people right now are really getting stupid,
mm-hmm.
thinking that if they have all the freaking money in the world, they have power. But if they're insecure mm-hmm. about the whole thing, the money will control them.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Security has nothing to do with money.
That's right. We look at the situation I was talking about before when we talk about relationships. And it's like
mm-hmm.
two people on banks. You have one person on one side of the bank, you have another person on the other side of the bank. Okay, they
mm-hmm.
build this bridge to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if those people don't do their job, then you only have half a bridge. Then you can never. Then you can't realistically go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't want to go backwards, so they want to sit there and work out the issues and situations. But even in the process of good relationships, building that bridge is not just a foundation for the two of you, but it also gives everybody else a foundation within themselves to accomplish what you did. So you're
mm-hmm.
you're also an example, okay? Just by being yourselves and doing what you need to do and following through, you're an example
mm-hmm.
to everybody else, just that simple. So you can see how things like that have a tendency to affect the world, so that when
mm-hmm.
you start focusing on exactly what you love to do in life, love is a very powerful energy, and it also attracts everything to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important and crucially important not to go out and get a job for the sake of making money.
Because
a lot of people out there are going, okay, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy. Why don't you look at your silly lives, dude and man,
mm-hmm.
and all these people who are out there working their butts off, try to make money to hang on the things they have,
mm-hmm.
when it's maybe time to start pruning. To start realizing that the only reason your life is chaotic is because of what you created. Your perception says you have to do certain things. And if you're, I'm just saying, I've seen people say, I'm going to become a nurse because they make $75,000 a year.
Oh, no, you know what? That was me 2 years ago.
Yeah, so when you, when you start looking at these situations, all you're doing is basically building a box and throwing yourself into it and say, okay, this is what I'm destined to do.
That's exactly what happened. I went to nursing school for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I started evolving really quickly spiritually, and it just kind of shifted. I just shifted out. And so I'm just now kind of getting over letting that go and really stepping onto my path. It's so interesting that you even pick that analogy.
Yeah, because the ideal, you're a fantastic healer, but in the process of healing others doesn't mean you have to become a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying nursing is a bad. I have a tough time with the medical community in the first place because they make way too much money. And people are actually going in debt to pay doctor bills when it should be, it's if you look at it realistically, there's a strong imbalance there of a lot of people wanting to be compensated for the schooling they went through when that was their decision to do all those things, and why should we be responsible for paying them back for something they made a choice to do so? I think they should look
and
at
it's much more money-driven than it is health-driven, and it's also, if you look at it as in, like, in physics, just in general, everything being a morphic field, the morphic field of medicine is long, hard, tough, judgmental, limited. Like, it's very limited. And so for someone to even go down that route, it's like you're wasting a lot of energy where else you could heal in other ways that are quicker, faster, easier, smoother.
It's also
you know what I mean?
Right, but it's also women I've seen who have a tendency to they think the furthest they can go is becoming a nurse, when actually they're more qualified and actually really intelligent, really smart in the process of taking it one step further, becoming doctors.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's other ways of going where we can actually put ourselves in a situation of realizing we're all natural healers in the process of doing that. But a lot of us are really detailed to healing others, and it's just the idea of putting the information in. And you, I guess, the energy into those things, too, become healers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we need a lot more natural healers, because a lot of times I think people do go into the medical field for the right reasons to get caught up in the whole thing. Because I think it's pretty bad for a person to go to the hospital, okay, with limited means, which I think that if we could teach people how to manifest more efficiently, then the ideal money would be another thing that would become obsolete. Because in the ideal, because people think, I can't have a car, I can't have houses and all this other stuff, unless they have money, not realizing money had nothing to do with it. It was the ideal manifesting the opportunities, and then money was an exchange to actually obtain those things. But at the same time of focusing on a house, you can also draw the money to you too. But we have to sit there and think about how money comes to us. Money does not always come through a job. Money can come anyways. I have to actually have this affirmation where it says, money comes to me every day, and in every way. I had a situation where I was working for the carnival, and I was going to the store, and I had actually already paid all my bills because we just got paid. So I paid all my freaking bills, so all I had was change and a little bit of money that I actually keep for myself to eat, right? So I'm going to the store. I'm sitting there on the street corner waiting for the light to turn red, and I'm counting my change out, what I can get, you know? My boss comes by, and he looks at me, and he goes, you're telling me you already spent all your freaking money? I said, yeah, it's called bills, my friend. And he's like, oh, really? He said, well, what were you going to do? I said, I was trying to count some money out so I could actually go across the street and give me a muscle milk. Because I was always trying to maintain. And any kind of muscle drinks or any kind of protein drinks I can get a hold of makes it easier when in those kind of situations, right? So he just looks at me and he goes, oh, okay, no problem. And he hands me a $20 bill. And he says, just look at it as a gift. And he looks at his friend and he goes, I can do that, right? It's my money, right? And he goes, yeah, do what you want to do. He goes, okay, here's the money. You take it. It's just a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So take it for that. You don't owe me nothing. And he walks off. And that used to happen to me. That happens to me more than I thought about the other day. I was like, it's kind of creepy. But at the same time, it's our perception. It makes us think it's weird when it's actually normal.
No, I understand. It's not weird.
No, because I said, here's one for you, too. It was one of those things of perception. Okay, somebody walked up to me one day and says, don't you ever wish you were normal? Because you're psychic. You have all these spiritual gifts and that kind of stuff. Don't you ever wish you were normal? I looked her back in the face and I said, dear, I am normal. because I use all my gifts that was given to me by God in the process of helping others and myself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if I look at anything, I would look at you as abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you choose not to listen to your gifts, which is actually a direct connection to God and the angels.
Mm-hmm.
Your guides, guardian angels, archangels, the spiritual realm. Which reason it's so easy, realistically, to connect to the spiritual realm because you are a spiritual being. Because
mm-hmm.
we just had this freaking discussion about you're made in the image of God, but you're not God's. And I said, how can you take one away from the other? I mean, think about this. When you have children, are your children that are created in the image of you and your husband and what you created, are they any different than you are? Are they less than you are? So why would a God create such an imbalanced system if he didn't create it first with himself, which doesn't make sense, does it?
Mm-hmm.
He gave us everything that we could ever need. He gave us dominion. He gave us free will. The only thing we have working against us in the sense of the word is because on this plane we have this human body to contend with. That
mm-hmm.
can actually put us in situations of being too prideful, not listening to ourselves because of the restrictions of being, I guess, the human side, their ego has a tendency to talk us down to where
yeah.
we don't listen to our spiritual guides, our angels and God. Okay? That's the only variation. And if you look at Adam and Eve, did Adam and Eve really, were they really forced out of the garden? Or did they leave the garden because they didn't think they were worthy after eating the fruit of the tree? That's when the human side came in, where there was duality. Before that, there wasn't duality.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was good. Okay? So it was our choice, again, that makes us feel less worthy. When we're actually, Adam and Eve were perfect beings, and they wasn't any different when they left the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the ideal of perceiving the human side of thinking that we were less worthy.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at the situation, realistically, we're perfect beings. It's the idea of working on spirituality to basically put our perception back to where it belongs to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the ego as motivation, but the spiritual and us are always in charge, are always in the driver's seat. And the idea of always, I always sit there and say, always listen to God and the angels. So therefore, you can listen to yourself. So therefore, the ego doesn't sit there and talk you down or talk you out of it or make you feel less worthy or maybe even pull you into your fears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think it's why spirituality is so important to people now is because the ideal of actually, when we say it's crucially important for you to be yourself, is to realize that you're a spiritual being in a human body.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you can realize that I've heard people say this, oh, this person hurt me down to my soul. Yeah, he did hurt you down to your soul, but he never touched your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body, it's been even proven that in some sense of the word, that the soul actually resonates an energy field called the aura to protect the soul, but also protect the body. The only things that really hurt us is the things that we allow in. And once we let them in, then they do have a tendency to hurt us. But we only have one person to blame in those situations. Not the person that hurt us, but we have to look at ourselves and say, why do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we not listen to ourselves to allow that hurt to happen? It doesn't make us bad people. It's just the ideal. We're always looking for places to start. And I always say that when new people start entering our lives, I think it's because it's time for us to face those fears because I think it's why we're manifesting people into our lives, relationships, friendships, and that kind of stuff. Especially on the very positive ones that actually change our lives in a very positive way that makes us think. I was going to say like this, you always know positive people that come in your life. And the reason you know they're positive people because they start making you think of what you need to let go of to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And some people decide not to let go of the things that no longer contribute to their happiness and even push the people they've manifested away because
mm-hmm.
they were supposed to face the fears, but for some reason they chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it doesn't mean they never will. It's just the ideal. Certain things happen. Everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start looking at the situations of relationships and that kind of stuff, everything's a manifestation of how we feel about ourselves. So if a person comes in your life that makes you feel good about yourself,
mm-hmm.
then you must have felt good about yourself because you manifested a person into your life to reflect that. And but more likely you're still living the old life because that's what you want to change. So we
okay.
manifest people into our lives to give us the motivation to do that. maybe even be with them in a relationship. But because I've heard people do this before, I say, well, this person is totally different than any person I would ever want to go out with. Mm-hmm. Of course they are, because you made a conscious choice to say, I want to have a real relationship with real love and everything else that goes along with it. And when you look at the past relationships that you manifested, it's because you had a lack of self-confidence in yourself, so therefore you didn't really like yourself. So you reflected people and relationships the same way. But now there's a new person that's totally different, and the reason that person is totally different is because that's what you've asked for.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenging beginning. It's like with your situation, too. It's a challenging beginning. But challenging beginnings are the best beginnings because they're the strongest, and they create the stronger foundations in what we're trying to do. And more likely, they're long-term relationships. People look at some, when I say challenging, I don't mean the person that's going to be with you is going to be challenging. It's a challenge to yourself to let go of your old patterns, to let go of the old relationships, to let go of the scars, the pains. Everything goes along with it in the process of having a fantastic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You've made the choice somewhere because the intentions were put out there that actually manifested new people in your life. And we have to look at that. So if you've made a decision to go back to an old relationship,
mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody says. You cannot take spoiled milk and turn it into a nice gallon of fresh milk.
Mm-hmm.
It's physically impossible. Of course, people are going to sit there and go, hey, you know something? You said we can manifest anything we want. But it's like in the Bible where it takes, you don't put new wine in old wine sacks. You know why? Because they're unstable. Their structure is a little bit off. It's something that you don't go back to. You want to start fresh and new on every level. So therefore, you get new wine sacks with your new wine. This is like a new relationship with a new person. You cannot create a new relationship with an old person in the process of going backwards. And what I mean by that is, if a person has not changed and they're still the same person, and you can feel it, not what they're presenting to you, okay? Because most people are going to do that. They're going to come back to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, I'm great. I'm fantastic. This is when we have to trust and ask ourselves one thing, too. Why do you want to go back to another? Why do you want to go back in a relationship with somebody when there's another person here who's presenting themselves to you? Of course, it's a new situation. This is an unfamiliar person. But realistically, when you start really getting to know yourself and start, take a minute and kind of let things resonate with you,
mm-hmm.
you manifested the new person. But you made a choice to go back to the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what you're doing at that moment is you're basically not listening to yourself or what you really want. What would be really good for you. What you're starting to do is feed into fear and you go back to the old one.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at the situation. You're going back to something that was not really presenting itself. It was a choice to walk away from a good thing and go back to another one. Okay? Because I guarantee you, the new one that came into your life could have been as simply as just accepting the opportunity, and things would have continued to flow and would have continued to get better. But you're going to go, so what you're doing is, a person comes back and says, okay, I've changed and I'm doing all this kind of stuff. A lot of people don't listen to themselves on how it really resonates with them. Like when you get that gut feeling, butterflies in your stomach, people think, oh, this must be a good thing for us because I got those butterflies in my stomach. Butterflies are really a strong indication that there's something up. So there's something out of the surface that's not presenting itself to you, but you sure feel it, and you need to take time to sort that out, to figure out what it is before you choose to go back.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a situation where you had a great thing going on with somebody and you decide to go back to somebody else, in less than a week or so or 2 weeks or anything else, the decision of going in a different direction, okay, then you need to sit there and take a look at it and ask yourself, why'd you do that? Because you got a lot of things in your life right now with spirituality and things going on. So things presenting itself to you. You're getting the guidance and everything goes along with it. And I also get the impression that before the end of the year, you get a lot of changes in the relationship area. Okay?
Okay.
I'm just saying, you need to listen and follow your heart. Not, because I had a friend of mine was doing that with somebody going, hey, you know something? I said, your guides are saying this. And the person said, okay, that might be so, but I'm going to do what I want to do. You see, I wish sometimes people would just shut up. Because when you open your mouth, you tell me everything I need to know. Okay? And that's the thing people don't understand, writing an email, whatever it is. You're telling that person everything that's going on at that moment. I had a friend of mine who was sitting there talking about certain things where I shouldn't have said things. And I think that when we sit here and look at those situations, we need to look at in the idea of prompting. We always talk about the idea of listening to our guides and angels. And when they tell us to do things, we should do that. Why? Because they have no influences from anything else. Their biggest concern or their most focus is on you and what's good for you. Human beings are not quite the same. They have a tendency to look at situations and realizing that one thing. Because I've heard this before with relationships and stuff. They said, you know, you shouldn't tell someone they're a liar because that could hurt someone's feelings. Okay. But realistically, when people get their feelings hurt, that means the truth was just spoken, which is a great realization of helping people grow emotionally and spiritually to realize that something they're doing is not right. To sit there and tell one person, if you sit there and throw it out and say, you're a liar, without explaining what that means, that's a little hurtful, and it's a little confusing. And if the person's not really in a position, because they're already lying to you anyway, so they're going to see you as a liar. Okay, perceptionally, they can only perceive that they can at that moment where their growth is at, okay? So when you sit here and look at the situation and say, okay, you're a liar, because you're lying, and I said the thing about it is you're lying to yourself. If you are lying to yourself, there's no way you can be truthful in your bed. Because you're not even telling yourself the truth. So therefore, you're actually in denial. You're lying to yourself because you don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So when someone sits and says anything to you about it, I guarantee you're going to lie. Because you're in this mode of protecting yourself because you don't want to deal with it.
Okay.
And I think sometimes when we're put in a situation, if they're lying to themselves, I think it's crucially important for us to be honest with ourselves and speak the truth. It might come off as harmful to somebody else, but it actually might be the one thing. It actually gives you a positive outcome. Because realizations don't come from lying to them too. I know people talk about the reverse psychology, but that only works with kids. I'm just saying with the situation, things coming to you out there. I mean, are you in a relationship right now?
No, but I feel I came home to really help my parents.
Where are you?
And so I'm in South Carolina, and I was in Charleston. I came home to the upstate to really help my parents. And in the process, I was shown a lot more of myself, kind of like a lot more of my purpose, a lot more, definitely more giving people. I've just found people who are just so extremely generous with me and have really padded me and can really see me for who I am and what my purpose is and that kind of stuff. So I see all that. But when I left, I went back one. When I left, there was a man who was definitely interested in me, but it took a while to really kind of meet him. And so I finally met him in the June, kind of July timeframe when I went back, I was thinking we were going to move back, and we were going to move back quicker or sooner than it's been moving. And so I went back to look for homes for my family, and I did some work there while I was there. I started my healing practice there, and so I had all intentions to build a center there, and I still feel like that's going to come through, but it might just take a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But that man, I feel really connected to him still, and I'm not quite sure why, and that's where it's kind of weird. He never acted on it. The connection was really strong, and I almost feel like we have a telepathic link, because I kept asking my guides and my angels, you know, like, well, if he's supposed to be in my life, you know, give me a sign, and he would just come and stand right in front of me, but he hasn't vocalized anything or said anything. We never really had a chance to really talk. I'm a little bit more intuitive than him, so I feel like I pick up on it quicker.
I don't know. You're both intuitive. It's just the idea of when you look at the connections, you know, sometimes with the connections, there's one person who accepts it completely, and the other one who questions it.
Yeah.
So if you have a quiet person, it's more questioning themselves. I think you just need blood.
You think what?
I kept on getting a picture of you standing in front of him and him not saying anything with the point where it got too frustrating where you just kind of like blurted it out. Okay, do you like me or not? You know, that kind of thing. I'm not saying you will. Well, I'm just saying when you look at the vision itself, it's almost like saying that when you have the opportunity with a person who's standing in front of you to speak your mind, and the more you work and focus on yourself, that when that opportunity does happen, then you'll know exactly what to say and what not. Well, it's one of those things, don't really focus on what not to say and just focus on what you have to say, and things will work out themselves.
But there's something in me that feels like he's almost trying to work up the courage to say something, or it's just something
that's really unnecessary. You have to understand one thing, too. One thing the human side has some tendency to make us do is always think we have to do something, or things are supposed to happen now. Okay? People have connections. Okay? We have to look at the situation real clearly and say one thing. Every good thing I desire comes to me. Okay, just for that one phrase, you have to realize one thing. If he's not coming forward right now, he still has some things to work within himself. So he's not good for you.
Yeah. Because
when you look at a situation, what do you have to do? What really has brought you together is listening to yourself, listening to your angels and guides. But realistically also, it's just you being yourself. So when you look at the situation, what is there to do? It's crucially important just to be yourself.
Wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, right? I still get really strong signs about him. So it's almost like I don't know if my guides and angels are still saying that he's on the path for a reason or something, but I still get very strong signs.
I think they're just saying you need to allow. What you need to do is focus on your career, focus on your life, and focus on what goes along with it. Because realistically, too, think about this. What's your life's purpose? There's always a life partner. So see, by you focusing on your life purpose, but you know what it is, then everything else will fall into place. But you need to focus on your spirituality. You need to focus on that more than anything else, because that is what brings everything to you. So when you look at the situation, you're trying to figure him out. When realistically, the reflection back at you about yourself, it's all about you. And the more you focus on you and look at the situations and asking yourself, is your heart chakra and you completely open up to the up to the situation too? And just ask yourself, because it's one of those things, sometimes it's the hardest question to ask people, to ask questions of yourself. But realistically, it's what people are all about. They're reflections of us, about how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
So you can understand him more by understanding you. And the ideal, raising your vibration, the attraction, everything goes along with it, will bring the prompting for him to say what he's going to say just by you working on you.
I feel like he is about to say something. I feel it coming. I don't know if I'm wrong.
Well, just take yourself out of the waiting mode. It could be the ideal, like I said before, that by letting go, by working on the situation of asking yourself a question, are you really ready for him to do that? Have you thought about after he, have you thought about this? After he does finally come forward, have you thought about afterwards? What's next? Are you ready for that? Because when you look at that situation and say, okay, that could be all the things to it. Are you ready for it? You know? Are you? Because I get the impression that I see you focusing so much on the idea of him coming forward, but not really focusing on what comes after that. And that's what they were talking about before, preparing yourself. You should be preparing yourself for a relationship, not preparing yourself for a person to come forward. Because realistically, what your outcome in having a great relationship is not the ideal of the meeting. It's the ideal of sharing lives together.
That's true. Too. So I guess just focus on myself and then keep going forward with my purpose. And if he's aligned, I see glimmers of him and I see a lot of signs of him. So I feel like maybe he is in alignment. I just have to keep going and not focusing on.
No, I have the same situation going on too, where people keep telling me to focus on my career and focus on my spirituality and actually things happening that are going into a different direction, but where you'll be more vulnerable. Because realistically, with your situation, getting your practice going on and all the things that are going to be going on, it's taking you out of a realm that you will be working with people all the time. It'll be a one-on-one where you're going to be vulnerable. Because in the process of healing work, your heart's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're going to have to focus on not just healing people, but you also have to have an outlet of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend, if you don't already join a gym, you should join one.
Yes, I was just thinking about it. So.
So, yeah, so when you look at the situation, you do those kind of things. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. I understand where you're coming from, because people talk to me. I keep seeing visions of a person showing up at my shop and us sitting down having a conversation. And what I've tried to do is I've tried to take those, the meeting, the connections, and I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also situations that people keep telling me the same thing over again, what you need to do, and even my cards and my angels and guides keep saying one thing. You need to focus on your career. You need to focus on your spirituality. You need to focus on different levels. By focusing on yourself and focusing on your goals, your wants, needs, and desires, you know, within that spiritual realm, how we know a person is not looking for that kind of person. So therefore, if we already feel like we already met that person, and we haven't really come together just yet,
mm-hmm.
then the only common denominator, see, we can't focus on them. That's their job.
Yeah.
So the reflection back at us is to do the same, to focus on us. You know, it's kind of hard to deal with the situation sometimes, but there's also a hurt and pain that you still need to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start letting go of those, don't be surprised what starts gravitating towards you. Not just the idea of the relationship, but also your abundance and prosperity and success and things that go along with that. Not realizing that emotional blocks within ourselves that we haven't let go of, as in hurt and pain, could also be things that are deterring our success. And the more success we have within our own personal lives, is aren't relationships also a part of our personal lives too as well? So they'll be coming to us. So because you're sitting there going, okay, I can see they're going to do this. But see, there's still a waiting. Anytime you put yourself in a waiting mode, that's the energy you have out there too. So it's going to keep things. So it's the idea of taking it one step further and say, you know something, I can see this great life. Like I had an affirmation where I sit there and say, I do it in three persons, first, second, third. And the first person is I.
Mm-hmm.
And I put down I and my name, and I put down exactly what I want the affirmation. Like I've got one, I got a couple. There's one I said, I, Donna Reed, have a satisfying income of $10,000 a month. Thank you. And then you go to the second person, which is Donna Reed, you have a satisfying income of $10,000 a month. And then the third one is third. It says Donna Reed has a satisfying income of $10,000 a month. And it's the idea when you work with the affirmations, it's the idea of what you feel, okay? Feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that's vibration. Can you see vibration? Of course you can. The chakras, they vibrate a certain color. But those colors are also to give us guidance of where it should be vibrating at. So we start working and doing the work and that kind of stuff until we can actually see the vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So the root chakra will vibrate at ruby red. You know, the sacral chakra will vibrate at orange. So what we do is we look at our chakras and we see where they're at that moment. So if you got like a murky red, then we have to work on it. So it's the idea of grounding. And if you're a person who likes to do chakra chanting, which is tones that we use for one of these things, to balance and to energize, re-energize, rebalance the chakras. And then you can use the vibe or the tone itself, where you can keep chanting until you can actually, with your inner eye or with your inner self, you can see that vibration getting into that orange or yellow or whatever. Okay, it's the same thing with relationships too as well. The more you work your life purpose, the more happier you are, and you're helping people and all this other stuff is going on. So it's the best thing to do to really focus on yourselves as in the process of what you really want to do with your life. If you're already doing it, you should continue to keep doing it and put yourself into it and, you know, start focusing on the things that you want, need, and desire within the business, the career, or, you know, well, I guess with the situation you have going on right now, it's going to be like being self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you accomplish and the more you focus, and actually the practicing of manifestation, right, which is the idea of practicing or manifesting all the wants, needs, and desires to actually accomplish what you've chosen to do with your life as a life purpose. The more you focus on this, the more practice and manifestation you do. So therefore, if you just simply visualize the ideal of a relationship you want, you've already done all the practicing with everything else. you start realizing one thing, that when you manifest, it doesn't matter what it is or who it is, it's the same process of focusing what you love, putting the intentions out there, don't worry about what the middle thing is all about, and focusing on what the outcome is. Okay, most people want to have a great career, but realistically the outcome is to live, to be living that career, and all the variables that go with it. It's the same thing with relationships. Your intention is to have a great relationship and a great partner. That's why we always recommend people writing the list out of what kind of person you want to be, what kind of relationship. But see, that's just to strengthen the intentions that you send out to the universe. Okay, but you have to allow, like they always said before, you cannot get an answer to a letter unless you mail it. So therefore, if you're a person that sends your intentions out there but want to worry about every variable in between that until the manifestation happens, that's like you hanging up a letter and trying to decide if you want to mail it or not. Because I guarantee it doesn't matter if you decide to or not to. Until you actually do, which means let go of that letter, let it go out into the universe, so the universe can actually do its job too as well and give you what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Thank you.
Is there anything I've said that you don't understand?
No, well, you said a little bit of you do still see things or in the love department shifting, I think, towards December. I think that's why you went on that like long kind of
I want you to understand one thing. The key to having that great relationship that you want,
mm-hmm.
hardest thing you have to do,
was focusing on my path, pretty much, me and my path.
The idea of focusing on you, your career, your path, everything that goes along with focusing on your life helps you to detach from that relationship.
Yeah.
The more you detach from it, the quicker it's going to happen.
Okay,
because really, when you're sitting there with the anticipation, okay,
mm-hmm.
of a kind of answer or some kind of prompting or he's going to do it, we don't realize that if we can feel energy, so can
mm-hmm.
people feel energy.
Yeah, that's true. Or
focusing on he thinks he has to do something, which is putting too much pressure on him without you even saying anything. So when you let go of it completely, just say your affirmations like in the morning. I do mine in the morning too, where I sit there and say, I, Donna Reed, am in a happy, romantic, deep loving, committed relationship with so and so, living a happy, fulfilling marriage, family, and life together now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do it in the second person where I say, Donna Reed, you are in a happy, romantic, deep loving, committed relationship with so and so, living a happy, fulfilling marriage, family, and life together now. Thank you. And then you do the third person where it says, Donna Reed is in a happy, romantic, deep, loving, committed relationship with so-and-so, living a happy, fulfilling marriage and life, marriage, family, and life together now. Do it in the morning, and then just forget all about it because you've already set your intentions. You're just reinforcing those intentions. And yes, this is still what I want. I still want to be with me and my situation. I definitely want to be with this woman. And you know who she is, so therefore, so be it, so it is. And therefore, we can actually put a little twist on it and say, this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. So be it, so it is. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what you got to do. I mean, people will say, well, you think about, you're thinking about. But also, I've seen the biggest things and the quickest manifestations that have ever happened for me was simply just letting things go. Because I was sitting there talking about, I have this shop now, and when I first went down to apply for this thing, they said I couldn't have it because the city didn't recognize it as a retail space anymore. So basically they're saying, you can't have that space anymore. It'll never happen. And guess what? That's my shop now. So
yeah.
A possibility turned to a reality. It's the same thing with relationships as well. But I sort of looked at the situation like this. What was the common denominator? What brought that? What was the one thing I did or didn't do? And the thing was, when they told me I couldn't have it anymore, I still said, no, I want that shop. That's my shop. And I forgot all that. And then about a month ago, I just happened to be up in that area and saw a for rent sign.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I saw it on there, I was like, I got to call you back. And I saw it in front of my phone, so I said, I got to call you back. So I was thinking that with that impossibility becoming a reality, we should be thinking about I don't think there's really anything out of my reach to have at that moment. Because I was starting to think about it too. People talk about doing affirmations and focus boards, and I think those are really good as long as they don't become obsessions.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing a lot of people who do the focus board thing, it's just they put something on their focus board. They kind of look at it maybe 5 or 10 minutes a day, and they forget all about it. I saw one guy who actually put it in a box, right? He put it in a box, and it was packed away for about 4 or 5 years. And it was just done, and his son was what's in the box. So he takes the boxes out, shows the kid what's in there, and he noticed that one of the focus board had a picture of the house they're living in.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened. But see, the one thing was, it wasn't something he looked at every freaking day. It was actually packed in the box. But he did put his intentions out there, and that's why I was talking about relationships. We have to think about relationships coming together. We didn't call ahead. We didn't do anything except put our intentions out there. And the next thing you know, we met these people. All we had to do was accept the opportunity that came to us. It's the same thing here. You let go of the whole thing completely.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it go. Because, see, the human side always wants us to be a little bit controlling. But if we don't control these situations, they're going to forget about us. Or they're not going to have this, that. Those are fears playing out within ourselves. So it's not about them,
mm-hmm.
it's about us. And when we let go of those fears, every time you confront a fear or let it go in the process of realizing it's nothing but illusion, there's always something good on the other side because it's always presenting to us that we can't have certain things. And also we face the fears, you know, like you look at the situation, some people can look at it differently, but I always look like this. Say a particular girl I was talking about was, no, I know we're going to be together and she's mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a possession. It's just the idea of realization of two people who actually are together really do those kind of things anyway. You know, you're mine, I'm yours. But it's not a possession thing. It's the idea of realizing becoming one. I'm you and you're... So when you look at a situation, you can look at this guy particularly in a particular
way.
That's
how I feel about him, which is really strange, and I don't know if he feels the same or what. I mean, that's, what you described is exactly what I feel and how I'm looking at it.
Well, then you have to take it one step further to faith and belief.
Okay.
By knowing within yourself that the connection does exist, connections cannot happen unless they exist on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not acknowledging it does not mean he doesn't feel the same way. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel, listen to yourself and ask yourself on the situation of focusing on seeing the two of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can see the two of you and have this confidence about it that tells you that beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're supposed to be together, then you have to see that energy as your angels and guides saying, this is a certainty. He's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Thing for you to do. But let go of it and prove to yourself that connections do exist and that when people are meant to be together, they will be, but you have to have that belief to let go.
Mm-hmm.
To detach, to surrender this and realize that God and angels brought you guys together for a reason, and therefore by you completing your task and realizing that they're probably working behind the scenes to help you focus on you and the process of focusing on you as you can be, that when the opportunity for you two to come together, you'll know exactly what to say, do, and everything else will fall into place very smoothly.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Yes.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I want you to sit there and call me back and tell me what's going on, okay?
Yeah, I will.
And
thank you so
much. Alrighty. Let's go. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night. Let's also look at some situations here and say we got some people. Let's sit there and look at the situation. I'm trying to figure out something here. Hold up. Alright. Also, you guys want to call in, please do so. We got an hour and 55 minutes left in the show. It's 9:04 p.m. Mountain Time here in Colorado. We're actually near Colorado Springs. So therefore, if you guys want to sit there and get some readings in person, please do so. We got a new shop in Manitou Springs at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue right next to the Flying Eagle. So you can also go in the Flying Eagle and get some great T-shirts at the same time. You can come over and visit me and get a fantastic readings. We got a special going on right now with the shop. that you can get a $5 palm reading. But if you also want to take advantage of the three services, well, we have a lot more service to offer. But right now we're in a situation, we have a three thing where you can actually get a past life reading, an angel card reading, and a palm reading all together for only $35. And we also have gift certificates too as well for the holiday season. So if you want to buy one for a friend or so for future readings, please do so. Okay, we have the three special going on right now where you can actually get, what is it? You can get certificates. The gift certificates are going for, excuse me, the gift certificates are only going for $35. And the $35 gift certificates get you one palm reading, an angel card reading, and a past life reading. And each one of those situations, like with a past life reading, takes about 20 minutes. An angel card reading takes about 20 minutes. And palm readings can take up to 20 minutes, too, as well, depending on you and the situation, okay? So if you want to take advantage of those, please do so. But if you want to give a call right now and get a reading, please do so at 646-721-9031. And we were actually talking to some people in the chat room. So let's go back to the chat room for a second, waiting for everybody to call in. Please do so. We got Emerald Rose 7. We got Guest 12099. And we also have Nicole Butters. Oh, Butler, sorry. And the question was, do you do readings with loved ones who's passed? And Webb put it like this. If they connect with us, then we can do it. And what I would suggest for you to do is to give a call in. Okay, just call in, and we can do it that way, because it's really hard to do it in the chat. Okay, but if you can call in, that would be fantastic. Also, if people want to take advantage of private readings, please do so. Okay, also, we're sitting here looking at the situation right here. Okay, if you want to give a call and schedule for a private reading, we can do this after the show, anytime you want. Okay, right now we have a special going on right now. Christmas special is any reading you want will only cost you $1 a minute. So $75 for 75 minutes, because if you go on my website, you'll see that 75-minute readings, I think, go for $125. 90-minute sessions go for $135, somewhere around there. I got to go check that again. Anyway. So we got to sit there and get those all scheduled, right? But, you know, any reading you want, we can do for $1 a minute. If you're, you know, I'm just saying people need to call in. We can get the thing going on, I'm telling you. Okay, if you want to call me for a private reading, please do so at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699 or go to my website at www.psychicexjourneyman.com. Okay? Like I said, Christmas special is any reading for $1 a minute. Okay, so the 75-minute readings are only $75. 45-minute, $45. The 90-minute sessions are $90, but they're only $1 a minute. Because I was actually sitting going over some things myself, going, okay, let's check this one out, see what's up. But if anybody has any questions in the chat room and would like to get a, if you still want to get a reading, please do so. Let's see, we actually have someone in the queue. Let's see, we got two. Whoa. Okay. Why don't we do this? Let's go to our callers. Like I said before, if you guys want to get a private reading, please call me at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699 or go to my website at www.psychicexjourneyman.com. And I guarantee with the situation, we have some really good, great sessions and that kind of thing going on. And usually angel cards readings can vary between 20 to 35 minutes, depending. You know, we also have variations in our angel card readings where you can actually do a 3-card, a 5-card, and a 7-card. Now, the 7-card can take up to 45 minutes. Because it's just a way of starting out with 7 cards and actually building a pyramid where we put out seven cards, and then we put down six cards on top of that. And then 5, 4, 3, 2 to our final card. It's a different way of doing things. But we can also look at the pyramid itself and see your foundation. We can also see the alignments of your chakras, what needs to be done. On each one of those levels actually indicates one of your chakras. All right? And we do parties. We do group readings. We do it on Skype. We do it in person. Any way it's more convenient for you. We can also do parties. Also VIA. I'm trying to say that right. We can also do it through Skype. Okay? Well, we had two. Let's see. So we have a lot of services. So just give us a call. We actually have a, you can get email readings too. I think it's five cards, three questions. It's usually $50, but for the holiday season, it's only $25. All right, let's go to our code, our callers. We got area code 352.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, and how are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
So good. I actually had two callers in the queue with the same area code, different phone numbers. Definitely the same area
Cindy.
Code.
I'm Cindy, and the other one's probably Nicole.
Oh, so Nicole came in for a minute, but she left?
I don't know. I'm Cindy, and the other one's Nicole, so she
okay.
may have left the room. I was trying to get out of the room. She was telling me you were on. I was just calling in to see if you can tell me anything about going on in my life. I've had a pretty bad last couple of months.
Let's see. You know, I sit here and look at the situation. And so, Cindy, where exactly is 352?
352 is my area code, honey, where I'm Citrus County, Florida.
That's where was that, Florida?
352 is for the area code for Citrus County, Florida. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Oh, 352 is for the area code for Citrus County, Florida. Nicole was telling me to answer our phone call. But yeah, I've had a pretty bad year this year. It's really horrible, and I had something really bad happen in September, and I'm just hoping to see if you can tell me anything good that's going to happen or anything's going to change.
So what's your birthday, Cindy?
What is it?
So when's your birthday?
December 17th, 1960. I've had some personal problems with my son come up missing, and then September 8th, and he hasn't been found yet, so.
How old is your son?
He's 27. I'm pretty sure he was murdered, but I'm just, you know, we haven't found that out yet. I mean, the police aren't really doing anything. I'm pretty much trying to investigate and search around for him myself. I'm very, very upset lately and just discouraged in our, you know, our law enforcement here.
Well, law enforcement. Just the cases have gone on in Florida.
What is it?
I thought I was very surprised with some of the cases that have happened in Florida.
Yeah, Citrus County, Florida. It happened right here in Citrus Springs in Citrus County, Florida. He was at a friend's house in my neighborhood. And he had prescription medication on him, and I believe they robbed him for the medication, and they murdered him. And I believe the guy that he was staying at was a confidential informant for Citrus County Sheriff's Department, so they just let him go. And he moved out of his house within 2 weeks, him and his wife, after 2 weeks after my son came missing.
Hold on. Was you the one in the chat room that was asking about the idea of communicating with people passed over?
Yeah, I was asking that. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know if he was found or not. I've had a homicide detective out here get my DNA, and I haven't heard back yet. And that was like 9 days after the fact. They found a body 7 days later, and they got my DNA on that Monday, which was September 17th, and they still haven't got back with me on anything yet. I just don't know. I know they let the guy get up in the van. They abandoned their house.
Mm-hmm.
There's a letter on the door there saying they just got up and abandoned their house, and the bank's going to take it back, I guess. So I unsecured it, left all the furniture there, and just left.
Yeah.
And the sheriff's department's got us blocked from the media, so I can't put it announced on TV. So I'm just, you know, just wanting to find my son's body, basically. I'm hoping that I can get this done before Christmas so that I can put it behind me. He's 27 years old. He had two daughters, and he has one that's going to be born in January. They're not, now I'm not going to have a father, so. And I think for closure for us, it would be great to have some closure before Christmas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The one daughter was only 7 years old. The other is two, so she doesn't really know much. She's with daddy, daddy go, daddy gone, you know. She cries for daddy, but the seven-year-old, she knows that he's gone. She knows that something's wrong, but she doesn't know what. So this is really hard on me because I'm taking care of one of them, the one, you know, and the mother's got the other one, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big mess. And I'm just hoping that maybe you could give me some insight on some things that may happen, some good things maybe, or something may come out of this, or I don't know. If you can see anything there.
Well, I get the impression of you hearing something in the next 14 days.
Of me hearing something within the next 14 days?
Yeah, the very first card I pulled out for you was your wish comes true. Of actually having closure and this kind of stuff, and what you're focusing on. It's the idea of not letting yourself be persuaded either way of the whole thing to doubt it.
Oh, you know what? I'm just, every day I get up and I think about it, and I didn't sleep, but I didn't eat, and I'm starting to eat and sleep again, and I'm trying to focus on finding him. At first, I was like very angry because I let the people leave, but I realized that, you know what, justice will come later. As long as I can get his body and we can go ahead and have some kind of closure start before the holidays, that would be great for the grandkids and his sisters and brothers and myself, too, you know. And I mean, I guess the justice will come later. I got to focus on just finding him and make sure his body's found. And, you know, something like that, justice, I'm sure, like I said, will eventually come. I hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, that's the ideal situation. We got cards here pulled out for you. And the one, like you said before, was the wishes. That's actually a Nine of Cups. It's a good card. It's very positive. And then you have the... When's your son's birthday?
It's April 17th, 1985.
He's an Aries. Aries is in fire sign. And I actually get the impression of the situation surrounding the whole thing, where it says, actually, you get the impression of things sudden. It's like this situation finally becomes the forefront where you're going to need to take immediate attention with the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the whole problem. I've been trying to get the attention, and it's like the police have just totally blocked us from media and everything. There's something very wrong with this whole situation, and I believe he was shot in the head and dumped in a marsh here in Citrus County somewhere. I'm going to go looking for him. Okay, I don't know if they have him yet or not. I'm going out tomorrow searching, so. First, we had a search party help us, you know, but then they found the body, so everybody quit looking, but they're telling me it's not his body, and they haven't got the DNA back yet, so I'm thinking I should still be looking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it was, he called me the morning that happened. He called me at 8:37 in the morning and asked me for a ride home. And I didn't go right away. I waited like 20 minutes. So it took like 25 minutes, I showed up over there, and they told me he took off walking in the rain with none of his belongings, including his medication. And I asked him the night before to give me the medication because the medication was worth money on the street, and I was afraid these people were going to rob him because they were kind of like junkies, you know. And he, the only reason he was going to stay with him is because he got into an argument with me and his grandfather, so he could not stay here. So he went there for the night, and I asked him to leave his medication with me, and he said he'd be okay. And just he wasn't okay, obviously, you know what I'm saying? He called me that morning. By the time I got there, they told me he had left walking in the rain. He knew he had a ride coming, you know, he wouldn't have walked. And he was going to the maintenance methadone clinic to, you know, so he could straighten himself out because he didn't have another child being born. He didn't want to be on drugs. He was trying to get off. And so I knew he, you know, I just knew this was wrong. He missed his clinic. He missed his doctor. He, you know, I knew right away. As a mother, I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, the same people, the 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we went back there. They were scrubbing their whole house down with bleach. And then on Monday, when we went back over there, we sent the officers over there. I want a well-being check done. And they said that the carpet was removed out of the house. And then within a few days after that, there was a U-Haul there. The funniest thing is none of the furniture was missing except for the furniture in the room he was sleeping in. The rest of the furniture is there. They abandoned the house. And it's like, Oh, my goodness. It's just we have no help from law enforcement whatsoever. And even private investigators can't really get involved because they won't release the missing persons report to us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I understand, sweetie, but what I'm saying to you is there are certain things that happen that nobody can actually keep from happening. And the ideal discovery and that kind of stuff. So it's just the ideal that, like I said before, you need to take off the ideal of can't and start looking at the situation, what can happen. Because I've seen too many situations where things have happened that can't be explained, but they get, like you said before, you can't say nothing to the media. I would say something to the media anyway.
Well, I do. We called the media. We called the news. The next day he came missing, they told us that they weren't allowed to put it on TV without the sheriff's permission, such as kind of Sheriff Jeff Dossie. And so I said, this is like, so 9 days went by and they found a body 7 days later. So on the 9th day, they put him on the news they put him on there like 5 times that one day. That was it for like 30 seconds. And then we called the newspaper, and they told us they couldn't put it in the newspaper here either without the sheriff's permission. And the sheriff didn't give permission to put anything in there besides he was missing, and that was like 9 days after he went missing. After they found the body. So we're kind of blocked from the media right now. And we're trying to actually fight higher now. We're going to, like, you know, the United States Department of Criminal Justice. We're, you know, with, like, paperwork and stuff and stuff, proof that we have against these people. And that's what we're in the process of doing now. At the same time, trying to focus on finding him, trying to get closure with that part of it, you know. So I say, if we get the body, at least we can get some closure with that. You know, get to go the autopsy done, get that, put the rest. And the rest of it, you know, the justice eventually will come. I'll work on that after. But right now, I just want to find them, you know. I don't feel right now, no, not having that taken care of.
All right.
So, and I think that it would make us all feel better if we could find him before the holidays, know that he's found, know that we're going to know what happened to him, and know that we could go ahead and put to rest eventually once they get done with this, you know. Mm-hmm. They'll have a service for him, and I already figured out get some little hearts of, you know, cremated, get some little hearts of my granddaughters and take the rest of his ashes and put it on his dad's grave. His dad died in 88. He burnt to death in a gasoline tanker in Detroit, Michigan. And he was only 28 years old. Kenny now, his son, is 27 now. He's gone, so very, very hard. I'm hoping this year will be turned around for me, I'm telling you, because I've had some really bad years the last couple of years. It's like one thing after the next.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Sagittarius, I'm usually really positive and have high energy and, you know, really doing good. But the last 2 years have been really, really pretty depressing. This has just really done me in, you know. It's like, oh, what a mess. So you think that we might find something in the next 14 days? We might hear something of this?
That's the impression I keep getting, yeah. Yes.
Good, thank God.
Because I was saying I pulled out 5 cards, and the 3 are talking about, you know, just things changing very quickly. It shows a lot of stuff going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows, in some ways, you have this illusion of being trapped, like you can't do anything. They're talking about this card is actually one of those things of just letting, you know, let it go, just letting things go, and asking for intervention.
Right.
Because it's amazing, and sometimes people look at a situation and go, well, this is impossible. That's true in the human sense, but in the spiritual sense, it's not. Because the 5th card that I got also shows it would be like between 14 to 19 days, but it definitely shows like a happy outcome of the questions that you're asking is the ideal of getting the answers you're looking for.
Yeah, I've been in really bad health, too, for the last 4 years. I got in a car accident 4 years ago. Ever since then, I've just kind of been sitting at home, getting depressed, you know, not going out, not getting showers, in my pajamas, and I roll at my table all day on the computer, smoke cigarettes, drink coffee. I mean, it's just gotten worse and worse, and it's just, like, totally didn't me in. You know, I'm just totally distraught over this one. I mean, I think I called the police. I thought, gosh, I wish I wanted to call the police. I wish I went in that house and see if my son was, you know, what they did to my son. But I did the right thing and called the police, and here it was. They didn't help me at all. And I did find out for sure, he was working for the police department, but they weren't doing, he wasn't actually on the clock at that point, you know, he was his confidential informant, so. And what happens to those confidential informants, they get, you know, the police let them do drugs, they get all messed up on drugs, and I guess that's what happened. They were really pretty bad on drugs, and they decided to rob him, and I don't know if the killing was an accident or purposely or what, I don't know. But all I know is if I can find his body and get some closure, then I need to start tending to my health. I think once I get this closure on my son, get this done, I think I need to start tending to my health.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not the normal Sagittarius I used to be. I'm like, I don't even feel like, I just feel like I'm a total different person. I'm not, I was always optimistic, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and I've really been pessimistic and very, but I'm very, very strong on getting this done. I mean, I'm pulling
mm-hmm.
through, and I'm just, you know, I had talked to a psychic, and she told me that she didn't want to tell me. I said, just tell me. I'm better. I can handle it. I said, look, I've lost a lot of loved ones. I've been in a lot of tragedies, but I'm one that can actually, you know, I can get through this. I need to know. I said, I'd rather know what happened to my son than never know. Never knowing would be the worst part. It could happen,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because I'm going to drive myself nuts over it if I don't know.
What'd she say?
She said, so she told me. She ended up telling me what she wanted to tell me. She told me that they shot him in the head. She said that, that they shot him in the head, that he went out to smoke a cigarette. He was waiting for a ride for me, and he went back in the house to get his stuff, and the woman was rummaging through his stuff, and the husband shot him in the head, and he was paralyzed, and they tied his hands up and tied his arms up and put him in the truck of a Mustang, and he wasn't dead yet, but she said he didn't suffer a lot. She said his head was swelling from the blood, so he had a headache, and then eventually a bigger headache, and then he just went to sleep. And they took him to film in a marsh area, and she's now meditating to see if she can close in and closer on the marsh area, because we have a lot of, you know, marsh over here in Citrus County. We're right by the Nature Coast in Florida. So.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know, she described what the woman looked like to me, so, and she described my son, so I figured she must know what she's talking about, so. She was on one of the top 100 psychs or whatever. Her name was Diane, I remember her last name, but I was like, wow.
Right.
At first, she didn't want to tell me because she felt, you know, bad for me. But I'm like, I'd rather know than never know. And the worst thing is never knowing, you know. You can't get over never knowing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now I know how Natalie Holloway's mother felt when they never found her daughter. You know, I felt bad. Everybody felt bad today on TV. They felt bad, but you don't know until it happens to you how bad you feel. I've already lost two husbands. One burned to death in a tanker. That was Kenny's dad, my son that died. And then I had my second husband die at 40 years old of a heart attack. I had a six-month-old granddaughter die and a 39-year-old brother die. Now my son. And this has, like, got to be the hardest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, you know, I just need to get it done. And I know I can get over it. I know I'll get over it. But I just have to have closure. Or I'll never get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to just totally diss every appointment I've had, like doctors, dentists, everything I've had in the last 3 months, and missed like four or five appointments just because I'm so depressed and so not energetic that I just, you know, want to just sit here and do nothing and try. Well, I sit on the computer all day long. I try to investigate stuff, and I mean, it's just crazy. It's like I'm doing a cop's job. It's like I'm in the middle of a murder mystery. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is not nuts. I just need to know that my health is going to get better and that I'm going to, you know, get some closure on this. And then, you know, that's why I was calling to see if you've seen that for me in my cards or whatever. In my near future, I hope.
I'm just saying, that's what it says. Happy outcome.
Good. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's very good.
No problem. It's just, you know, the idea of the situation is just putting things in perspective because it can drive you crazy.
It is.
Of course. But, you know, when you sit and look at the situation, because some people look at the situation as a happy outcome. Well, like you said before, the ideal closure, that is the happy outcome you're looking for.
Right, exactly.
To have that situation going on where it can drive you crazy of just, you have a lot of suspicions. And you think you do know what you're talking about, but the confirmation would definitely be something to put your mind at ease and actually heal. Well, actually, it actually contributes to the healing process.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I came and I'm back. You know, obviously you can't really, you're mourning, but you don't know what you're mourning for. You know he didn't disappear. You know he was murdered. You know you need to find the body. You need to know why he died. And once I get that, I can wait for the body, you know what I'm saying, to get the body back. I can wait for the autopsy. Once we get the body, I know that's going to be the starting of us being able to get over this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've got three of his kids involved and two mothers, so, and a brother and a sister too, you know. So we're just all really just, my kids, they had two. I have three children by two fathers, and they both died. I was widowed twice by the time I was 39 years old. Had a stroke when I was 37. So I don't know what, but God's pulled me through it all, I'll tell you.
You can also, I guess you can look at the situation of contributing to how strong a person you are.
Yeah, I don't know how I could be so strong. I really don't. I'm almost to the point where, you know, this is like it. This is I've got to hit something because I got to get through this one. The others I got through, they weren't so hard. This one was, I mean, the first one was shocking when my husband worked death in a gasoline tanker. He was in an accident. And I was up with two boys and a father. And Kenny was three then. Now, this one is, like, totally different, a murder, you know. It's like, oh, my goodness. And the cops doing nothing about it is the scariest thing about it all. I'm like, how are they going to just let them walk away, you know? And you just see this on TV, but you never believe it's going to happen to you. So, and it really does. And in this county, you know, in the modern days now, you wouldn't think they'd be able to do something like that. But they do. They can. I'm watching before my own eyes. Right now, I'm folding in front of my own eyes.
Right.
So, maybe the detectives know are doing more than I think they're doing. Because I've seen them do nothing, and they're denying it. And they're thinking of somebody else that could have hurt my son. I said, no. It was them. I knew it was. I knew the morning when I went there. I seen their eyes. They were high. And they gave me back my son's clothes. They threw him out in the front yard in his basket. He had a netted clothes basket. It was like one of those netted hampers. It was all tore apart. Hampers. It was all tore apart, and it was brand new when he went there. And I seen his empty pill bottle in there, and I knew. I just knew. I just wish he would listen to me the night before, and it's too late.
Well, they've done it before. Well, because we've seen situations where police think they know what direction to go into, and we've seen too many cases now where people are getting out of jail because it wasn't true.
Right, that's why I'm thinking that the reason they didn't do anything is because he's a CI, and the county's responsible for what he does, and basically what any work he was doing would probably be no good if, you know, he was arrested. So they're just going to let him go, and it's like, you know, on my son's, my watch is my son's body, I'm like, I can't let that happen. But most of all, like you said, first thing I need to find the body. I can worry about the justice part later. Lordy. I don't even know if I'm looking for bones or body by this, at this point. You know what I'm saying? Probably just bones. I don't know. I'm just going to look, though. I know it makes me feel better when I'm out there looking. You know, I go out there and I actually try and meditate. And I actually try and pray, you know, to my husband, his father, to help me find his son. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's horrible. But I know my son was going through a lot, too. He was very depressed. And he was he used to pace back and forth and drive me crazy because he was so bored. You know, I know he'll never find a drug addiction again. You know, that's one thing that I'll remember that's the only good outcome that came out of this whole thing. You know, I know he'll never fight that again. But just to be murdered is just like, just totally unsettling to me. But I'm sure there's probably other people waiting to talk to you, huh?
Yeah, I was looking at some things there. And, no, I was just looking at your cards where it talks about thinking things through very carefully. I would have said, I actually was taking a look at a situation of having a very good assessment of the facts. But you can see this whole situation. It's just the idea of waiting for everybody else to basically catch up. And
right, exactly. I'm like way ahead of everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, cause it's like our society is so caught up in process. And then sometimes in situations like this, the process doesn't need to go through. There's too many things going on that basically point out exactly what's up.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious. Well, I'm just saying I think we should look at the idea and say, okay, CSI and all those things on television are very good. But if you look at the situation of the sows and the cells, all you're seeing realistically in some sense of the word is a good day.
Right.
You know, I'm not knocking the show or not like that, but I'm just saying with the situation, I'm not saying there's not police departments out there that don't run that smooth.
Yeah, well, this one I heard was very corrupt, and I didn't even know how corrupt they were until it happened. I had people coming to me, and they're telling me things. So it's like, well, I'm trying to find my son right now. I'm really now looking into, like, you know, trying to fight the county. You know what I'm saying? And the whole Citrus County Sheriff's Department, but... You know, I mean, there's other people out there. There's like officers who came forward saying that our sheriffs are corrupt. He's involved in a drug ring, and they actually find evidence on people, and which I think they're trying to do on my son's case because the detective asked me who else would want to kill my son besides them. I said, no one. No one wanted to kill my son. I said, these people, I'm telling you, did it. They did it for the drugs. And that's exactly what the psych told me, too, you know, the medium. Now, there was a local medium here. She had a whole different story, but Hers just didn't add up. The one I talked to, this Diane, she seemed to really know what she was talking about. You know, she described the lady to me and everything in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually seen the guns. And there's actually blood on the ceiling in that house. They went in his room, the room they tore out. I told you they bleached the house down. She had, the woman had gouges on her arms. And the bedroom my son was staying in, it was when my daughter-in-law went in there that same day, they were bleaching the carpet in there, and there was scratches on her arms, and his clothes were thrown all over the room. Well, they took they eventually took the whole carpet out. Like 2 days later, the whole carpet in the whole house was missing. So it's concrete floor, right? Well, in the house with this concrete floor, his bedroom, the bedroom he was staying in, is the only bedroom that the floor was painted. They painted it white, and they painted two walls in that bedroom. And then they just left. They got a U-Haul, and what they put in the U-Haul, I don't know. The bedroom set was gone, and my son's gone, and the rest of the furniture is still in the house. They just totally got and abandoned their house. So I just now found out we have a Citrus County Witness Protection Program, which I'm sure they're in it.
Hmm.
So just getting the right information to the right people, I guess, to, you know, do the right things. I don't know. The most of all,
that's
like I said,
it,
is find that body. Very distraught over the whole thing. I just feel like, you know, it's terrible. I can't grieve my son's missing or being killed or whatever without anything, without knowing I have to solve this murder myself, you know, with the help of a couple of mediums.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, one medium I was talking to is Sin Lu. I don't know if you know Sin Lu. But she's in California, and we were talking, and the officer called me, the detective, and he asked me who I was talking to. I told him, he asked me to spell her name, and I did. And that very same day, she messaged me on my Facebook. She said that she cannot comment or she cannot share anything with me. I said, they've hacked into my Facebook. They've hacked into my phones. It's terrible. I don't know if they've done that or if it was that the John guy, this John Sebastro, the guy that killed my son. I don't know. Like, I don't have any information, so I don't know why they're hacking into my stuff, and I just want to know what I know or just seeing what I find out or whatever. They've actually made a web page for my son. It's called Justice for Kenny Ritchie at Facebook.com.
Mm.
So, and there's like 1,300 people, almost 1,400 people on there now. So,
I'm just saying the situation that people have to understand. I've done this before with a lot of people, and there's actually some books on it, too, about angels' intervention.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. It'll make a big difference.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because the one thing about human beings, they have a tendency to think they are, you know, in some sense of the word, they can, in these kind of situations, they think they're powerless. But when you have an angel intervention, I've seen a lot of situations change very quickly in the favor of the person who's justice.
Well, recently, a lot of people have been having dreams. Like his daughter, the 7-year-old, had a dream. It was a good dream. She said she asked God to she talked to her daddy more time. And her mother woke up in the morning. She said that her daddy had just left her. And she said, see the light from heaven, Mom. There's a door. It's closing. And what it was light coming through the curtain, she said. But she said that she asked God if she could talk to her daddy and see her daddy one more time. He told her he loved her and missed her very much. And then, you know, something that he died at a park near a park on a trail. But see, she's only 7 years old, so she thinks that he had, like, a health problem. That's what her mother told her. And then now her mother, which is Kenny's ex, told me that she had a dream, and she couldn't remember any of it. She remembered answering the door, and he was standing there. And her mother had a dream, and I had one dream the whole time. And what the dream was, I just remember an open field, grass, and the sun. That's all I remember. It was like a real pretty setting with grass and sun. And I couldn't remember anything else. I was like, damn, I can't have any more dreams, you know? But then on the one psychic asked me at the medium, she said, have you been having things misplaced around your house? Well, I said, yeah, actually I have paperwork. It's like I put stuff down and it's moved. It's like, what is going on?
Right.
Maybe he is around until this justice is taken care of. I don't know.
Well, I get the impression I get the impression that could be possible too as well. But sometimes it's also, in situations like this, there's a lot of chaos within that person too, who's passed over too in the process of the situation. So I would agree with what I used to watch, the Angel Whisperer, not the Angel, what is it, Ghost Whisperer.
Uh-huh.
That sometimes with the transition, there's other things that they have to deal with too as well. And it's the transition, making sure there's justice, and the situation is topsy-turvy. So, you know, you have a lot of variations in situations like that.
Yeah. Yes, and some people won't pass over if they don't have justice, correct?
That's true, too. But in the process of passing over, there's also a transition period for them from one to the other. And this has been disrupted.
This happened September 8th. This is why we're going almost December. It'll be what? October, November, December 8th will be 3 months. I was very discouraged after the first 2 weeks. I'm like, and I didn't find anything. I'm like, oh, I just wanted to find, I wanted to find whether there was something that was left. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The longer it goes on, the less hope I have. So, but I've been trying to stay pretty much focused on that. I'm very focused on that.
Sometimes it can drive you crazy because I'm just when I sit here and say the message comes to me, just let it go. Is the chaos of focusing on it constantly can also create blocks too.
Right.
Because, you're focusing on the outcome that you want, but we also know just in manifestation that you got to let go of that before you can actually play itself out.
Right.
I'm just saying the ideal closure, what you're looking for, just the ideal letting it go, having some confidence in yourself, because it's not the idea of having confidence. It's not the idea of having confidence with the police department. It's one of those things of realizing that it's like looking at a situation of people and how they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And just look at the situation, and is there any kind of injustice going towards you? Or is that just who they are? They're just not about justice. They're more about covering their own asses.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what they're doing. So just kind of shows someone's covering their own asses in this. And I need my son. I need his body. I can't let it happen. And I'm one that will fight, but I know that once I find that body that I can relax. I can focus on just to getting the justice, and another thing, maybe my health and stuff too. But right now, that body's the first thing that's got my mind is getting by my son's body, Because without a body, we have nothing. Without my body, without a murder weapon, even DNA, there was DNA in that house, and there's no way we have to get to it. We've got some stuff over there. Somebody went in the house and got some bloody stuff from that house, and we have it not in a lab that will even test it without the sheriff's permission, so we're back out with nothing again. So we got a lot of things. We just need a body. We need a body.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is not the second, this is not the first person that has come missing with this guy. This guy went fishing with a guy in 1995, supposedly his best friend. They went fishing, and I guess his friend must have been having an affair with John Sylvester. That's when his son killed my son. His wife was Roberta. So I guess Roberta was having an affair with John's best friend. They went fishing, and John came back by himself, and they never found the guy ever. He went missing, and it was never found. Right here in Crystal River, also right in Citrus County. So I was like, no, this is not, he's the second person now. My son is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just crazy. And somebody had came to me. I have people coming to me, and they're telling me things, and that's how I'm putting my case together, with things that research there, things they know about John or, what's happened. I would have never known that John had another person come missing John's presence before him, except for the fact that somebody brought it to my attention, and I researched it, and sure enough, they sure did.
That's crazy, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that guy had a family. I guess his wife and kids were in Michigan. He was divorced, so he had nobody really to investigate his part. But that was pretty fishy, too, because they pulled up all the newspaper ads in 95 on it. It was totally, none of it made any sense. So it's like, okay, so this guy, he got away with murder on this guy. Now, he's going to go with it again. I don't think so.
Because
he had nobody to fight for him. I'm a mom. I'm going to fight to the very end to get my son's body. Then I'll fight for the justice. But just before the holidays, it would be wonderful to get his body back. I didn't decorate this year for the holidays, and I thought, I think for Christmas I'm going to decorate because my son loves Christmas, so I'm going to decorate my house up good and just try and get through it with my grandkids. But that would be so great if we had a body before it happened. I really feel like I'd have something to celebrate then,
Yeah.
So, I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, because I was just going to look at the situation itself. We do have some other callers in the queue. But like I said before, just focus on the situation. The one thing I get with the angels, too, as well, is just where you can actually see the situation of giving it to them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why that's so hard to say. And just let it go. Because when I tell people to let go, what you're doing is you're letting go because you know the other shove is out. it's going to be resolved. And it gets resolved a whole lot quicker when you do that, okay?
Yeah, that's the part I need to know. It's going to be resolved. That makes me feel better. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing it's going to be resolved makes me very uneasy.
Right.
I mean, I'm really involved in this. My daughter said, Mom, you got to start doing stuff. You guys are getting dressed and going out of the house. You got to quit, you know? I'm like, Megan, I can't. You know, I got to, you know, find your brother. We got to get this done, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's very upset about it, too, but she can't. Obviously, she deals with things different. She's a, I think she's a Pisces or Aquarius. So she was born February 15th, and she's very, like, she just blocks things out and goes forward, you know, and I can't do that.
She's Aquarius.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a, you know, she's really melancholy, too. It's crazy. She's really melancholy, and I'm not. I mean, I am now because I'm so really depressed over it, but I'm not normally. I'm a Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. I'm usually not a melancholy.
Okay. So. Well, with your situation, like I said, I feel like it's going to get resolved a little quicker than you think, and just get that work on that intervention with the angels, and definitely get back with us and tell us how things go, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night, and thank you for the call.
You too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go on to our next caller. Area code. Boom, boom, boom. I'm thinking. And plus, with the last caller, if anybody is in an area where she's living at and knows anything about the situation, they should come forward. And definitely get with the lady.
Ooh.
I got a cramp in my freaking foot. Okay, let's go on to our next caller. Area code 281. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hi, good. My name is Sarah. How are you?
I'm doing good, Sarah. Where are you calling from, Sarah?
I am calling from Texas.
Texas?
Yes, sir.
That's a big state.
Yes.
Is Texas still trying to accede from the Union?
I'm sorry?
I've heard some rumors that Texas is trying to accede from the Union.
Yeah, there's some talk going on about that, but it doesn't look like that we're the only ones.
Yeah, it's one of those situations that, you know, sometimes when you get this kind of thing going on, I guess people should look at the bigger picture. If the country itself starts basically ceding or seceding and those kind of things, it's also sends out a message to the rest of the world that we're vulnerable. And we have to take it off the centeredness of focusing on that kind of center, you know. But sometimes with situations, people have a tendency to get caught up in the whole thing of things they don't like. Not realizing if you keep focusing on what you don't like, you're just going to manifest more of it. So, I mean, I'm sure there's other solutions. So let's hope they have come up with a good resolve. So with that said, I'm sure you're not here about the state itself. I'm pretty sure you have some questions of personal nature.
Yes, I was actually, I've been trained to communicate with my angels, and I think I got a couple of names down, but I couldn't get, I'm just making sure that I'm not second-guessing myself or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was curious if you could just more or less validate the names of my angels.
That sucks. Hold on, I'm just trying to... We still got some of the people who are talking about the last one, because there's been a variation back and forth. Some people are getting impressions that they're not sure about the passing and stuff like that, but when I was looking at the cards and stuff, I keep getting a happy outcome with a situation where things are going to be resolved. So she's definitely going to know. And I think it's the more important thing right now. That she will know. Plus, I feel like I had to sneeze.
Bless you.
Yeah, I'm trying to sit here and go, okay, am I going to or not?
Hate that feeling.
So... So you're trying to communicate with your angels, huh?
Yes, sir.
You know something, when it comes to communicating with angels, I think what happens a lot of times is people are trying too hard. Sometimes we have to realize what we are. if we're spiritual beings, the connections are already been made. Actually, the Bible even says in Psalms 91 that God gives angels charge over us. So it does give us an indication, and I think proof of guardian angels. And we've been having this a lot lately when people are talking about the idea with my shop in general. I have a tendency to listen to Christian music and Christmas carols and that kind of thing. And I don't understand. And I even had a friend of mine said that she was, here I'm in my friend who's a psychic listening to Christian music. And she thought that was kind of strange. I was like, I don't. This is what I always look at that really is hard for people. They put themselves in these structures, which is called anything, Wiccan, pagan, blah, blah, blah. You know, I have nothing against these things, except for one thing. They're groups of individuals that sometimes think they have to be a part of a group. And actually, if you look at the Bible, it says that you have to, there are certain variations on how you really pick up on the whole thing. But when you have certain things where it talks about a man should respect his wife as much as a wife should respect his husband. But everybody has this freaking thing about Adam came first, Eve came second, so therefore they look at that kind of thing. They don't realize the ideal balance. And the reason that there was so many things that had happened throughout the generations and that kind of stuff that put people in the situations of perishing was because of imbalances. When we look at the Bible, and people, I've heard this before, I don't know how you agree with this one or not, but people say that when God caused the flood, they call it mass murder. And I was like, but realistically, it's like looking at people saying, God, why did you let this happen? When it's actually the consequences of the people's actions that brought the consequences.
So
that's what, that is the downside, I guess you want to look at. There is a downside to free will. You can do anything you want, but there's consequences and karma is going to kick you in the ass. Of course, it's going to teach you some lessons, but it depends how much karma and what kind of karma you put out there of exactly what you're going to learn. Well, I had a lady who came in, was a sheriff, deputy, and she got shot. And she was in a situation and then stuff like that. She shouldn't have been in the first place, but she put herself there anyway. And she got shot, and she was basically asking why she didn't die, because she felt like she should have died. And they said, well, your karma wasn't that bad. So the lesson you learned was basically that in certain situations, instead of going in like gangbusters and thinking you're macho man, think about it. Guidance is trying to tell you one thing and you're doing another. So you're working against yourself. And the idea, what is destiny? I think destiny realistically is to allow and to let go and go with the flow of where it's going to take you instead of fighting it all the time and say, well, this is what I want to do, which is not working. Because if it was working, it would be as flowish as your destiny. But it's not. So it's definitely an ego thing out of Monk, you know. With the mass murder, was it really mass murder? Or was it the world was so corrupt, they brought these consequences upon themselves? In the process of God creating everything in the first place, he just basically created the consequence. And completed, he just completed something they already put out there in the first place. Of putting, it's like, we've been in situations like that before, haven't we? Where someone puts us in a position that we have to make a decision. We've all been there. So here's God. God's in the same situation. I mean, we got Sodom and Gomorrah, and you look at the situation of destruction. But the destruction was basically because they were sinful cities. And even it shows you in the part of showing you what happens with consequences when Lot's wife was told not to turn around, keep going forward. What happens when she turns around? She turns to salt. But did she turn to salt because somebody... was because someone condemned her to be so? No, she condemned herself because she was told not to do something. Okay? And she did anyway. What it's showing you is when you're going forward, you don't need to look backwards because you already know where you're coming from. At that moment, what it is a person having a tough time letting go of the past. And you can see what happens in the process of not letting go of the past, how the consequence of the action can be very, well, it could be a death, it could be a life or death situation. So what's more important going forward in favor of a brighter future instead of looking backwards at something you already know is terrible, which actually caught up with her and turned into a pillar of salt? And if you look at salt itself, it's a purification. And we look at the situation, we really don't hear much about what happened to Lot. how we felt about the situation, but in some sense what we do. It could be simply just a he understood. I mean, God told him, no one looked back. Keep going forward. You know where you're coming from. When you look, it's like we tell runners that when you're running, you don't need to look behind you because it's the same five people that started with you. And if you're in the front, all you got to focus on is the finish line, which is the future of becoming a winner to get there. Okay, so when you go forward, it's great. When you go backwards, it's not so great. And we try to tell people about relationships. If you're going back to a relationship that wasn't good in the first place, anybody can act any way they want. And that's the point about the situation. If you are a person who, just put it this way, if you're a person that comes from a theater background, shouldn't you also see people who are actors? Which means you're playing a part, which means you're not being yourself. And don't be surprised if you look in the mirror and find out you've been playing a part too, not being true to yourself. So this, the whole thing is the idea of communicating with your angels as easy as one thing. Crucially being important to actually be yourself. Focusing on who you are. Don't underestimate who you are as a spiritual being. So therefore, it makes it a whole lot easier to connect with your angels. Because your angels have always been there. They've always been talking to you and communicating with you. We know this for a fact. When a person driving down the road gets a prompting to do something else and realize they missed the whole accident or they missed a turn. They didn't see themselves miss a turn, but they had a feeling. That's your angels communicating with you. Say, turn around. You turn around, sure enough, you missed your turn. And then you're back on the right path. Now, these simple little situations also tell you one thing. If the angels are trying to help you keep you on the right path in the process of driving, why don't you listen to them, too, about keeping on the right path? Because they're talking to you always. God's always talking to you. Everyone out there, Jesus, everybody. And it's just the whole thing. It's just the idea of how easy it is. We got to make it complicated. Relationships are easy. But for some reason, as human beings, we're stupid asses. Well, I got to wait 3 days before I can call this person. And you ask yourself why? Because I don't want to come off like I'm desperate. Why don't you just come off as a person who's concerned about calling someone back? And half the time, when you sit here and look at the situation, what you're going to find out, if you take both people and put them in the same room, their insecurities about themselves to make them do these things in the first place. So therefore, we have another perfect example of why we need to listen to our angels, what we should do. Because usually humans have an alternative motive. They're also looking out for their best interest. But angels, their best interest is you. So which one would you rather listen to? Your angels or somebody else who might want your money? Or anything. It's just, you know, I'm not saying everybody has an alternative motive, but people are, in some sense of the word, trying to protect themselves in some sense, okay? So in the process of protecting oneself, people have a tendency to do things out of character. Okay?
Right.
So when you look at the situation of communicating with angels, I'm just saying what I used to do is find prayers when I do readings to connect. There's a couple of them where it's like, you know, you want to do readings? And if you're doing any kind of focusing on yourself, you're doing a reading for yourself. So it'd be beneficial to have a prayer when I'm doing readings or I'm focusing on myself to actually open up to hear the angels. I'm actually trying to find one. It's amazing when you want to look for something, you really got to look. All right, let's try this again. I got another book. So what happened was I got a new shop. So most of my books and stuff are at the shop.
Well, that's exciting. Congratulations.
Nicole has left the room. Okay, so in the process of some of my stuff is there, here it is. This one here says, Dear Archangels. Now what I do is I don't really focus on one. I focus on all as a unit, right? So I'll say, Dear God, Angels, and Archangels, thank you for helping my oracle cards. But I usually have a tendency to say, I do readings in all very in different ways. Okay, Nicole, where are you at? I'd like to talk to you. It says, Dear Angels, I'll do it my way. I'll say, Dear God, Archangels, Angels, Thank you for helping my readings be accurate, detailed, and filled with blessings for everyone involved. Thank you for helping me understand the deeper meanings of, I always say, it says oracle card readings, but I always say each person and each reading. There's another variation where you say, beloved God, angels, and archangels, please help me clearly hear, see, think, and feel true divine guidance. Please guide my readings so that they are in the light, are specific, inaccurate, and brings blessings to everyone involved. Thank you. So it's the ideal, finding things that resonate with you in the process of resonate with your angels. I have different variations because I actually have ones working with like soulmates, but it's a different approach. It's actually working with the guardian angels of your soulmate. And if you feel like in the situation that you're really ready to be connected with your soulmate or your twin flame, then you just kind of take the prayers themselves and variations. I don't have the prayers with me, because I actually take my journal too, also to the shop, because I spend a lot of time at the shop, so if I have the time to do so, I was thinking about writing and that kind of stuff, which is another thing too. Any kind of form of anything can actually put you in a situation of connecting with your angels. So, also just the prompts, like I do, I have a book on angel numbers, and I start looking up numbers when I start seeing them in threes. And that's another way of saying, I'm listening to you, I'm looking up the meanings of this card, those numbers and situations and that kind of stuff. Even going to the grocery store and simply saying, okay, angels, what should I get? Should I get the Pop-Tarts, or should I get something healthy? Now, most people say, well, that's common sense. But see, it's like having not just conversations with your angels, but also having a relationship with them, too, as well.
I think I'm building my relationship, but I just haven't seen them in tangible form, or it sounds like my voice, so I don't know if I'm, well, I know I'm second-guessing myself, but I was just curious if, you know, you can give me a name, so I can just make sure that I think that's who I'm talking to, you know what I mean?
Well, what I said to say, what you need to do is forget the names, okay? Anything's in a name. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I think you should listen to names that come to you. And I'm just saying right now what it's saying is you're, like you said before, you're second-guessing yourself. Your fears are coming up on the ideal. You want to connect with your angels, but you're also feeding on the other side of that whole thing that what if I'm not connecting with my angels? Maybe it's something else. Now, it's the ideal of feeling again. Okay, you're a spiritual being connecting with a spiritual being. Okay, it's easy to know when you're connecting to a spiritual being as divine than when you're connecting with something that's not. And you have to pay attention to yourself in those situations of what you feel. And the easiest way to learn how to feel is the more that you focus and listen and follow through by listening to your heart and following your heart. This is how we do readings realistically when we open ourselves up to listening messages that come to us to connect with people we're doing readings for, is listening to one's heart. And then following it in the process of giving you guidance and listening to you, emotions and your feelings and that kind of stuff, to also pick up on everything that goes along with it, okay? But if you have a fear that you're connecting with something else other than that, you have to sit and look at the situation and realizing that it's a fear that's coming to the surface, that if you put too much energy into it, it will become a reality. Not the idea of connecting with a demon or someone who's not of divine nature, but when you start focusing on conjuring things, and people have seen this happen before, where whatever you focus on, you can actually create. So it's like an illusion becoming a reality. Okay?
Gotcha.
So what you do is you take it back and go, okay, what I want to do is, it's like I said before, the key to manifestation is works here too, because what you're trying to manifest is a clear connection to God. There's actually a book out there too. It's by Dorian Virtue, and it's called Archangels and Ascended Masters: How to Work with Identities and Divinities. Okay, there's a section in the back of that book that actually talks about a clear communication with God. It's also the ideal. It works with angels and that kind of thing, too. There's a section on all the archangels. There's a connection to archangels, cinemasters, what they are. And it's just it's a really good book because it connects you with a lot of things that we thought were always, you know, gods in some sense of the word when we start looking at them as archangels and people who used to be here. And a cinemaster is basically somebody who used to be here on the planet who ascended as a spiritual teacher. People connect with them in that kind of situation. Okay? But it does have a section in there where it talks about having courage, connecting with God, and it talks about using I think it's actually connecting with certain angels in the process of doing that. There's also other ways of connecting with the angels and God as well, and that's the ideal, realizing that there are seven main chakras, but there's also chakras above your head and below your feet. There's an eighth chakra that's below your feet that connects you to probable realities and the astral plane, which is also good using to also ground oneself, which is kind of funny how it is to connect and be more grounded to actually be able to access the astral plane. But groundiness is basically the centerpiece of everything. Then we have a ninth chakra, which is above your crown chakra, which is the one connected to your higher self. Those kind of then you have the 10th, 11th, and 12th. They have their variations in a lot of things too as well. But the 12th one is basically, that is your connection and your relationship to God. And it's also recommended when you work with these chakras, it also enables that you should be able to feel more energy in your hands and within oneself, which is great for healing. But if you're also a person who wants to connect with their angels, who actually want to do work with their angels, it's great to connect with those ones. Ninth is a higher self in the angel realm. And then you have the 10th and 11th and 12th, which are also probable realities. But also the 11th one is the closest thing to, as they call reality, but it's more of a, how would you put this? It's the ideal, really, it's how things really are. which when you connect with these chakras, helps you to see past the illusion that we see here and realize that you created these things out of negative thinking, which also working with those chakras can help you see the clear picture so you can change your outer by focusing on within yourself. You can change the outer reality very quickly. And because people talk about certain things where they think that it's going to take this amount of time to do this and this and this. And when you start working with those chakras, you start realizing that time is a perception too. How you perceive it. What is a minute? Realistically, what is a minute? Now, people are going to sit there and say 60 seconds. That's all we're talking about. We're talking about what is time. And realistically, right now, we would not even have a perception of time if calendars, clocks, and all these other things would never been invented. So we wouldn't have that pressure upon ourselves to do certain things. Which is amazing when you do connect with your angels, how it makes your life more simpler. And that's what you should try doing. Just simply having certain goals, okay? Like I did once before where I was working a regular job and I had to be at work at 7. So I would tell my angels to get me up at 6. Okay? You're actually talking to your angels and asking them to help you with something. And when I sit there and did that, it was amazing. Every morning I woke up at 6 so I could make it to work at 7. So, you know, those are other ways of communicating with your angels, of just asking for things and then see what happens in the aftermath, what unfolds, what changes in your life. I mean, my situation was living in an apartment where all I had was an inflatable mattress and then basically saying, well, I'm just nonchalantly said, we need some furniture. And then all of a sudden, people just started giving me stuff. And it was kind of funny, too, because it wasn't shabby stuff. I mean, it was really nice stuff. I mean, I actually had someone give me a JVC stereo. If anybody knows anything about JVCs, that's like one of the highest. It's up there. Of stereos. Very, very good equipment. Good stuff like that. It was a television was given to me. And now, since I've been moving in this apartment, I have a bunch of furniture given to me. I actually have these chairs, which I use in my shop now. They're like $30. They're $30 chairs. I have a genuine oak coffee table that was just given to me. So, you know, it's the under. I guess what I was telling Tavry about in the situation of the situations we hear about, like the lady was on, that would let, like the last lady was on here, of what's going on in her life, to sit there and look at the situation of intervention from angels, of get, you know, seeing a positive outcome with the situation, no matter which way it goes, working with the angels will definitely give her peace of mind, whichever it goes, you know. And sometimes our perceptions have a tendency to work against us, where they, you know, we go right to the assumptions, which actually could actually lead to very positive outcomes of something we never saw happening, which is good. It's like a miracle. But couldn't miracles be something that would just connect with your angels of helping us to stay focused on being positive, not realizing that in the process of us being positive caused a positive outcome? And that's what you're looking for. So, you know, I would just sit there, like people sit down and meditate and they try to communicate with the angels, when sometimes it's just a casual conversation. Like I used to tell people with psychic abilities, stop trying to do something and just do it. It's the idea of realizing that if you have dominion and you have these abilities within yourself in the first place. I mean, we look at Jesus. Jesus told us about the future, what was going to happen. He also healed. He calmed the storms. You know, it was just simply nonchalantly saying, okay, you know, I can do this. Boom. And there was even a part in the Bible where I think from what I read, there was a little irritation that Jesus has taught the disciples that by following me, you can do the same things that I can do. All you have to do is, they say believe in Jesus, but isn't believing in Jesus believing in oneself too as well? Because Jesus came in human form. They say believe in Jesus, but I still think that there's a combination of believing in oneself before you can actually believe in Jesus, which I always say, if you don't believe Jesus exists, it's because you feel like you really don't have faith in yourself. Because once you have faith in yourself, you start believing anything and everything. You even know people who are not good for you, and you don't deal with them. A lot of people do. They think they can, but sometimes it's the idea of living the situation completely, okay? So take that in consideration of what's going to happen. But I'm just saying, I mean, sometimes when people use angel cards, it's just another way to communicate with angels, right? And then after a while, you don't feel the need to use the cards anymore because you hear the angels talking to you. And of course, they're going to talk to you in your voice. Why? Because that's what you, realistically, you want to hear something that's angelic. But hearing your own voice is why they usually communicate with you, because you'll take notice of it. But they always sit there and say, if you think you're talking to the angels and then you keep saying me, then you're not talking to your angels, you're talking to yourself. But if you hear them say, well, what you should do, you should stop and turn around because you missed your turn, then you're hearing your angels. And every time you have a situation like that, pay attention to it. How did it resonate with you when that happened? So it was a very positive situation. So what you need to do is, when it happens again, pay attention to those. Because a lot of people don't talk to the fact. Dorian Virtue tells about a story, too, where she got carjacked. And she said if she would have listened to her angels in the first place, it wouldn't have happened. But she said her angels never gave up on her and turned her back on her because she didn't listen. After the carjacking happened, then they actually talked her through it and helped her deal with it. That saved her months of therapy. So they help you in all kinds of variations, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You just have to listen. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying the most outrageous things that happen to you, just simply seeing 333 three times, is a communication.
Well, thank you so very much for your time.
I hope that helped you out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you
for calling
in.
I'm sorry?
I said thank you for calling in. Please get back with us and tell us how it's going with the angels, though. I'm just saying, start communicating like they are your best friends. And you'll start seeing things differently in your life because you listen.
Thank you. I will most definitely. Well, I didn't try, but hopefully it will help. Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye. Now. All right, let's go on to our next caller. I'm going to go here. to the show. Here real quick, as soon as the little thing starts spinning around. All right, we're going to go to area code 662. Welcome to the show. How are you? And what's your name?
Hi, I'm fine, and my name is LaShondra.
Okay, LaShondra, if I could ask you one thing is to speak up a little bit because I can barely hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, we won't see you this time.
Okay, do you hear me better?
Yeah, we can hear you a whole lot better now.
Okay. I guess I'm calling because I'm getting ready to go through a divorce. It's been a long time coming, but I've been in denial. But I have accepted it now, and I'm fine with it. I've been on this, like, social website, and I came across this guy. He's in the military. And currently he's in Afghanistan, and he and I have been, you know, like, talking a lot. And he's going through the same thing that I'm going through. I'm just wondering, what do you see around this whole situation with me and him?
Okay, so where are you at?
I'm in the States in Mississippi, but I'm getting ready to move to Texas, which is where he's from.
Where he's at now?
He's in Afghanistan now because he's in the military.
Yeah, because you know, it's like one of those things. Like I feel the distance, but I wasn't sure about what it was because you're indecisive in some things you're doing right now, and I feel like he is too, which you know can understand the situation. But just trying to center, look at the situation, try to take out some of these. It's like a highway, so I had to get rid of some of the lanes. Okay.
Yeah. We both have to go through this thing that we're going through with our spouses. So I know that's one of the highways. So.
I'm just saying, well, the situation I pick up on is the ideal. He needs to get through what he's going through. But there's a lot more to it because of where he's at, what's going on, that kind of stuff. So he has a lot more variations than you do.
Yeah, it definitely makes it harder for him. And I try to be there for him. Because he is, you know, in Afghanistan in a war zone, so.
It's okay to be there for him, but be strong, too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, situation. Sometimes people have a tendency to feed into the emotions when they should be the one who's standing strong.
Right.
That's called the rock. Because, you know, people realistically don't want people to gravitate down to them. In a sense of comforting them, they want mm-hmm. someone. They want someone to stand strong. I guess you could say stand strong and tall, so they can actually have a little bit of closure in some sense of the word. Now he's in Afghanistan, right? You said he's going through a divorce too.
Yeah, he's getting ready to go through one when he gets back home.
So he has to. Therefore he has to go through all this stuff now before he can even get back to even think about going to divorce. I'm not saying he's not going to do it. I'm just saying. There's other aspects and other avenues he has to go through before he can get to the point of actually getting divorced.
Right. And that's another reason why I'm calling, just to, you know, because I don't want to get attached to him and then, you know, the situation changes.
Well, let's do it this way, okay? I mean, I hope everybody's listening to this one because realistically, you're not supposed to attach yourself to people.
Right.
This causes problems. We think that because what we're doing is realistically we're attaching ourselves to people because we're scared we're going to lose them, not realizing we're actually working against ourselves, which can actually, the fear itself is going to create that separation.
Okay.
What you should do is you should realistically be there for him. And what you do is should do, I always tell people if you've done anything on Skype that you should have done, it's kind of hard to go backwards. But at the same time, what you really need to focus on in this kind of variation, this kind of situation, is to keep focusing on the friendship.
Okay.
I mean, I know for a fact, I've said this before too, you can, if a friendship is supposed to be a relationship, you really can't hold it back. And you shouldn't.
Right.
But at the same time, it doesn't mean you can't have an understanding about the situation and realize it. Because I've seen a lot of good relationships, fantastic relationships come out of these things. I just saw one not too long ago, which was a good example of that. That people think we have to touch each other, that we have to know every aspect of people's personal lives before we can be close. Not realizing those people are not going to tell us about those things until we become close. So you see, it's like a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
You have a person who has a tendency to denounce that, who says, you're not close friends, or even the idea of verbally saying those things, they're denouncing something that does exist. So it helps you understand, and this, especially in a situation like this, communication is very important. And if you don't understand something that someone's saying to you, I think it's very important that you, you know, ask them to say, I don't understand what you're saying, or what you're thinking at all in this whole situation, because of having two people in two different places. So you can actually sit there and focus on the ideal of being very open with each other, getting to know each other, because that's all you have to do. You can't think about anything else. Can't think about it being intimate. Can't think about, you know, if it's going to be a relationship or not. Because I guarantee if you focus on what's going on at the moment and focusing more on the friendship, the relationship you're looking for to happen, and the strongest bond you're ever going to have will happen.
Okay.
You're both on the same page about that. So I think it would be really working for you. Because the one I just saw was a guy was in prison for 5 years. He was falsely accused. They actually found the evidence to prove that. But it took him 5 years to do that. In the process, the woman that the guy had confided in, they actually fell in love with each other. And basically, really, in the process of this whole situation of having no physical contact, actually enabled them to get to know each other on a deeper level before that happened. Because a lot of times what happens is, it's like people who drink. Okay, you can find people who are alcoholics. If you trace it back when they start abusing drugs and alcohol, that's when they stop maturing. So you'll have a 40-year-old who's an alcoholic who acts like a 13-year-old, because that's when they stop maturing. Okay, the same thing happens with relationships. A lot of times when physical intimacy happens too soon, the relationship doesn't mature anymore. Okay, because people think once you have the physical intimacy between each other, then you pretty much got the whole thing, not realizing that life, realistically, relationships are a lifetime commitment of getting to know each other.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, I told him I didn't want to rush anything. You know,
I'm just saying, the situation you got going on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do not, even just, how do we put this? When we start saying, just take this slow, you're still controlling it, okay? Because you're saying, just take it slow, which means the last relationship I was in went too quick and it didn't work out too good. So see, you're judging it from a past experience about a present situation that's happening, and you can't do that. You have to take it face value of what's happening at this moment, because that past experience doesn't exist anymore. It's just an insecurity you're still hanging on to. So what you need to do is to come into this relationship with no expectations.
Okay.
Look at the situation of two people getting to know each other who like each other's company and see where it goes. You know, if it comes a relationship or it doesn't come a relationship. Okay? But don't try to determine what it's going to be or what it's not going to be. Just let it happen. Okay. See the signs and things are going on, and you get to that point where you just want to sit there and express that, and you should. Or you can sit there and you can do this. You can sit down with each other and talk about it and say, okay, if you feel a certain way, that when you finally do see each other face to face, then express it. You can talk about the things. I'm just saying, don't try to control it in any kind of shape or form, because realistically, human beings on that human side wants to control everything. And I'm tired of it right now with the situation of people saying, well, we want to take it at a slow pace. We want to take it. They actually want to sit there and take it level by level. And it's realistically not meant to be that way. Relationships are spontaneous. What you should be focusing on is each other, but also focusing on yourself. You know, focus on yourself. When you're not with him, and you're not talking or communicating or nothing like that, then be where you're at. Okay, I'm not saying this to somebody, but I'm saying you have a life to live. And the more you live that life, the more likely this is going to become something really good, because you've done your homework, which is the idea of taking care of your own personal space and your foundation. Because it's not your responsibility to do that for him. It's the idea of listening and saying, okay, I understand where you're coming. And even if the idea, if you want to be honest, honest about it, you really can't understand where he's coming from. Because you've never experienced this on any kind of level.
Right.
All you can do is you can tap into a person. I've done this myself, where you can feel it. But realistically, the experience he's going through, that's something you can't experience unless you really want to do the, unless you really don't want to do some things where you can focus on being hit, really realistically being in his shoes. That is a process, that is a spiritual technique that you can do to actually walk in one's shoes. But it's a very...
No, I don't think I want to do it.
It's a very intimate thing, and it's like one of the situations of, you know, the whole process is almost like occupying the same space at the same time, and then basically experiencing what he's going through. So it's the idea of being totally honest with each other and saying, you know something, I really can't... I don't really understand where you're coming from and what you're going through and what you've been through, because I've never been there. And just being that honest with somebody makes them trust you even more, because you're not trying to bullshit them. So when you sit there and think about those kind of things, that's what I'm saying. And when he's talking to you, just focus on the conversation that's happening and be totally honest with what you feel. Because a lot of people say, I know how you feel. Really? You've been in the military? People shooting at you? You've had people that you thought were your friends, you know, double-crossing you? It's a whole different kind of world.
Yeah, I know that he's going through a lot. I am too. But sometimes it gets overwhelming.
I'm just saying, when you have all the things that are happening to you, you need to take a step back and just take a deep breath and look at the situation and say, basically, you must have the strength within yourself to deal with that. And you need to take that time to find that strength within yourself, because it's there. It's like love. People sit there and say, we created this love between us. No, we actually created the opportunity. And in the process of getting to know each other, we became more relaxed, more open, which in the process, the love that was already there was able to come out completely.
So what is the significance of, you know, the fact that I'm getting ready to go through a divorce, and obviously he is as well?
What is it? What do you mean, like it's like synchronicity?
Yeah, is there like a lesson to be learned in this, being that I'm going through the same thing and he's going through the same thing?
Yeah, there is. It's because of what you do with your life. And when you go through this experience, because you're going to be going through this experience before he does. So therefore, in the process of strengthening your relationship, is to learn, put yourself completely in what's going on in your life. Learn from it, because it's not what you're going to tell him. It's from what you're going to experience. These life experiences of going through this divorce, you can be there for him when he does what he's going to do. Because on that level, you can realistically say, I know how you feel. I know what you're going through, because you have actually gone through it.
You see, he has children with her. I don't have any children.
All I'm saying, in the situation, what you need to focus on is yourself. And the situation, what's going on. So therefore, you can be the best person on the other side of this whole situation to be there for him. You cannot do nothing for him. There's not one thing you can do for him in the situation of his children, the wife, the whole thing. It's something he needs to see. But I feel like the ideal, the example you're going to be putting out there, what you're going through, what you need to do, will help him understand. Because sometimes I look at people going, you know something? To sit there and say that you got to be with, you got to stay with some person you don't want to be with, and you're no good for each other, you're no good for your kids. So to stay together because of the kids, you're only fooling yourself. And what you're really doing is you're not doing what you need, what you know you need to do.
So are you seeing him stand with her a little while longer?
Well, he's not going to do anything, because, dear, you have to understand one thing about the military. They don't make it easy for divorce.
Oh, okay.
My brother was in the military, and I've had a couple of friends that were in the military, and I've actually had a couple of clients that have gone through the situation. The military looks down on adultery big time. It's the quickest way to get kicked out of the military, too. Okay? Marshal the whole freaking bit. Okay, in the process of wanting to file a divorce, if he's a person that's going to get out of the military, it might be in the best interest to stay in the military until he gets out before he files a divorce, because
He doesn't get on it until like 3 more years.
I'm just saying, with the situation, getting divorced, okay? It is one of those things telling the guy flat out. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Don't make excuses why you should stay in something that doesn't work. Because actually, I've seen people who get divorced who are actually better for their kids for being away from each other than they was together, because they keep being vindictive to each other. And what's happening is the kids are getting the butt of the whole thing because of two people are too selfish to actually compromise to really learn how to take care of kids.
In his situation, she slept with his brother for 2 years.
Say it one more time.
In his situation, she slept with his brother for 2 years behind his back.
Well, he's got grounds for getting divorced, but why would you think he'd want to stay with her?
Because he stayed after he found out about it.
Is he a person that feels guilty because he feels like he wasn't there for her? So he makes excuses.
I don't know. I haven't really, asked him any questions like that. I just listen to him. But if I don't really ask questions, I just listen, because sometimes some people just need a listening ear.
Okay, sweetie, but you also understand one thing, the situation. Any kind of relationship is going to come out of this whole thing. It has to do with honesty and communication and vulnerability.
Right.
Communication and vulnerability, the idea of communicating what you think and focus and asking the questions because you want the answers. If he can't give you the answers, those are the things that need to be considered, too, as well. Why can't he?
I don't think that he will have a problem with giving me the answers. I just don't ask.
I'm just saying, with the situation, you need to ask. I'll tell you why. Because all the information you're getting is the information he's given you.
Right. Yeah, I know it's two sides to every story.
Same, well, there three. Is. Right. There's his and hers. Yeah.
So.
You teach that one, too. I'm just saying, with the situation, okay, you're getting information from him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start asking people, there's nothing wrong with asking a person a question. The one thing he could tell you was, it's none of your business, in a nice way. And then you understand, okay? And so, okay, I won't go there. But you still have to ask yourself, in the situation of somebody telling you something this intimate, why would he not tell you the whole thing?
Right.
If someone gives you a hug, and then sits there and claims to be something other than friends, you have to question the motives. When people start saying certain things and that kind of stuff, it's the idea of paying attention to what you hear. And then look at, is there any contradictions? If there's contradictions, then there's more likely more to the story, and there's different variations of stories, and that kind of stuff. I've had people say, what if you have somebody you're with who sits there and says, it's not a relationship, but then at the same time, there are certain things that are going on which would dictate a relationship. It's the idea of looking at the situation of a person who's trying to denounce something because how they really feel. So, I think sometimes it's just you have to take a step back and look at the situation and go, okay, now I know how this person feels. When are they going to come forward to admit it to themselves? Not to me, but to admit it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the idea of asking questions, sometimes you have to ask yourself, am I not asking the question because I'm scared of the answers? And just ask yourself that question. Is it one of those things that you just don't want to know? Which means you're not being honest with yourself and say, okay, I get the suspicions there might be more to this story. But you never get the true story unless you ask. And sometimes people don't realize that if you're not asking, that's why you're not getting any answers.
He did tell me that she doesn't want to be with him anymore. And so I was like, so if she wanted to be with you, would you be with her? And he said no, because he just can't do it anymore.
Okay, if she doesn't want to be with him, he doesn't want to be with her, it should be an easy thing. I don't know. It seemed like his situation.
I really think.
His,
from me, the way that I feel, I really think that he wants to be with her, but it's just to say that she don't want to be with him.
That's true too, sweetie. But you got to take yourself out of the variations here. So we look at the situation like this: intentions. What is your intentions? You don't want to focus on her. If you want to be with him, your intentions is focused, basically what you should be focused on and visualizing, it's just two of you being together. So the universe has a tendency to line itself up. People have a tendency to change in the process of realizing who's good for them and who's not. And when they're allowed to, they have a tendency to gravitate to those people. So in the situation here, maybe he still has the whole thing, but we don't know why. I get the impression with the situation why he would still want to be with her is because of the children. Because it seems like in some ways, she might actually use those children as levers to get what she wants.
Yeah, and that's another thing, because he was like, when she called him, because he, you know, he put a restriction on the account. And when he called to talk to the children, she waited a while, and then that's when she asked him, you know, about money. And he said that he feels that, you know, it's about the money.
I'm just saying, if he hasn't done anything, hasn't filed for divorce or anything like that, and he wants to do that, he needs to also file for custody of the children. Or at least...
He said he don't want to do anything vindictive like that to her.
No. I'm saying he needs to file for custody of the children for their own good. Because she's not good for them. All she cares about what she wants.
He said he doesn't want to put her in a position like that, you know, in regards to the kids.
I wish people would do one thing and do what's best for everybody involved, not kiss ass. Okay?
Right.
I don't want to do that to her. This woman has done all kinds of shit to this guy.
And she can't, and he said that she can't get a job because she has a record. And
the point of the whole situation is, what you need to do is not get into it. You need to tell him he needs to get his head out of his ass. He needs to focus on what's best for the children and not what's best for her. And that's what he's doing. He said, well, she can't get a job. She can't do this. She can't do that. You know something? I hate to use this strong word, but I use it quite a bit. Bullshit. This woman can... It's like this. That's what I'm saying. If you look at the variations, okay, and you look at the situation, the woman can't get a job. She can't take care of the kids. She sleeps with anybody who actually will do things for her. Okay, do you think this is a good environment for those kids?
No, I don't.
Look at the other side of the situation of a person who's very responsible, very loyal, and would probably give those kids anything and everything they wanted.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, when we look at the situation, who's best for those kids? He needs to look at that, is what it is, instead of saying, I don't want to put her through this. I'm sorry, but she's not as weak as she puts herself out to be.
No, she's not weak. And she knows that. She knows his weakness, and she used it against him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get this guy to call in here, man. I wish you would, because we take Skype. Like, his set to this guy is just repeating. So, okay, dude, this is the way it is. I would have thought about when I got divorced, and listen to a lawyer who told me how to get custody of my kids, I should have listened to him. Because I think if I would have, I think my kids would be a whole lot better off. They would have a better foundation and a whole lot better things with everything going on. Because they've always been told that, you know, it's like looking at the mother and that kind of stuff. Guys, it's like this. You don't have to be with anybody you don't want to be with. It's the ideal relationships or people you want to be with. Okay? We also have to look at the situations of creation, manifestation, that we manifest these relationships in our lives to confront our fears, not to embrace them. Okay, you two people have basically attracted each other and through all kinds of avenues. That happened. And it's the idea of looking at the situations of helping each other, but tapping into the strengths of each other. Not, because if you look at the situation right now, he's tapping into his insecurities. Okay, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Okay, we don't care. We don't give a shit what you don't want to do. What do you want to do? That's what you should be focusing on. Sorry. it's irritating with guys who play this macho bullshit. And what this macho bullshit is basically the ego out of control. Now, the ego is controlling every aspect of this guy's niche. I guess we could sit here and say that's why we don't like the military in some sense of the word, because of focusing on that side of the whole situation of rushing into things. You know, protection. And I bet you anything, this guy really tests high in a quiz about, you know, protection and this kind of thing, like it's in, okay, what's the word? Oriented protection, of protecting oneself. But it seems like he's been taught you protect everything else, but, and that's a contradiction in some words. Because with his children, his children need him more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the lack of what they get from their mother. And this is so freaking crazy too, man, because my ex-wife is actually married to my brother. So don't sit there and tell me, I don't know the insides of this situation.
Wow.
So, when I sit there and look at the variations here, I'm telling you right now, with the situation, like I said before, I like to pass on the people things I should have done. Okay, did I learn from the situation? Of course I did. But I think it could have been totally different. But on that variation, I still try to make up for it every day, so therefore I've got a lot of things I've learned from it. But I'm just saying, when you look at the situation, he's sitting there not even taking any kind of consideration. Because I would sit there and say, one thing he's not doing that I did is I actually affirmed it every freaking day. My family was like, just let it go. They're together now, so, why don't you just stop complaining about it and stop talking about it and stop condemning them for it. And I said, I'm not condemning them. I said, this is wrong. I have two daughters. They're going to know every freaking day how wrong this is. Okay, until he corrects it. But does it mean I don't have any kind of relationship with my brother? I even talked to my ex-wife. I've actually done counseling sessions with my ex-wife, with her, her husband. So, you can rise above it and become better. And it's kind of funny how I've actually been in situations of helping them. Okay?
Wow.
But, that's one of those things that took some time to get there, but it did happen. And do I still condemn it? Of course, because it's wrong. The idea of them being together. Does it mean I was always a perfect person? No. But in this situation, this is something that continues. Some of the infractions I did no longer exist. I've dealt with those situations. They're not a constant visualization all the time. Okay? And these things have a tendency to be, I'm sure my daughters are getting older now, and it's becoming more relaxed because they're no longer in that household anymore. So it's a little different. My daughter's married. She got kids of her own. I have a younger daughter who's 19. She's not living there anymore either, so they're still together. And I don't know how long it's going to take before they shoot each other, but yeah, we have high hopes. Anyway, we're only kidding. What I'm saying, what the situation is, I've actually gone and spent time with my brother. I've actually talked to my ex-wife from time to time. And it's one of those situations, but when it all happened the way it did, I distanced myself from as far as I could. Did I think about what would be easier for my wife? No. I changed the whole format. Someone's actually calling me.
Skype call, huh?
Yes. I wish I could change that ringing noise because it drives me nuts. All I'm saying with the situation is you need to tell him flat out, this is not a situation of making it easier for her. This is the idea of a situation that no longer works. She's pretty much made up her mind what she wants to do. He needs to do the same. He doesn't need to worry about what's good for her or what's not good for her.
So how would that work, being that he's in the military? I mean, how will he be able to look after them if he's in the military?
What he does is he signs custody over to his mother.
Okay.
Yeah, all he has to do is find a person to sign custody over to. And he can do that. Okay?
Okay.
But seriously, what the situation is the idea of going into the situation of determining who's going to get custody and filing first and say, I want my kids, I want this, 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 and this. Because I guarantee if he files first before she does, because I think I kind of get procrastination here on both sides.
I feel that he will get the custody because he told me that some people with the law trying to get in touch with her because it's something that she did. He wouldn't tell me what she did, but they're looking for her, and he said that he's not going to tell them where she is. And I told him, well, you can get in trouble just like she can.
Why is he protecting her so much? It's not his job. She keeps getting herself in trouble all the time, and he's like a father that keeps bailing her out and keeps enabling her to keep doing the same thing over again when he should be doing one thing. His kids. What does he have? I keep getting two boys.
Yeah, he has two boys.
Okay. See that, guys? I was right. Okay. Anyway, just saying, sit there and talk to this guy and say, why is he making it so easy for her? He should not be making it easy for her.
You were saying something about your procrastination.
Oh, it's one of the situations when I was in the same situation. It was the idea of seeing things, feeling things, know things were up, but never. And when I had the chance to do what I had to do, I didn't do it. I had a lawyer tell me that what I should have done is filed. I should have taken my kids when I was still married. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I should take my kids to another state because we were still married. See, they can't get you for kidnapping if you go to another state because you're still married. You can do what you want with the kids. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you go to another state. This might sound crazy to people, too. You go to another state. As soon as you get there, you set up residency and file for custody and file for divorce. What this does is puts her in a position where she has to come to you. Now, what he can do in his situation is he can put it on the, he can sit there and talk to his mother and get those, see, they're still married, okay? So what he does is he gets the two boys, goes to grandma's house, okay? And as soon as those kids are at grandma's house, he files for custody and he files for divorce. So the kids are out of the house. Okay, what's going to happen here is 9/10 of the law, possession, works in your favor. Okay? Yes, I've thought this out, so I want to sit and tell all the guys out there that have been taken advantage of by women, and even women, in certain situations, what you can and cannot do, instead of listening to what your neighbor says, who can't get himself out of a parking ticket. Okay? So, we have a tendency to do that. When we're in crisis situations, we don't want to hear the truth, right? We don't want to hear the truth, okay? So what we do is we seek out people who are going to tell us what we want to hear. Not what we need to hear.
I have a feeling that if he does not do it that way, she would not let him see those children.
Of course not. The thing here is she's not going to admit to what she's done. She's not going to admit that she's in the wrong. She's not. You know, the ideal is justification across the board. That's what I'm saying. She's not in a good way. Okay, every good thing you desire comes to you. Okay? So what he needs to do is forget about divorce. Not even mention it no more. Don't even talk about it. But he needs to do what? He needs to stop protecting her. But what I'm saying is, what he should do, this is just the way I see it, it's the ideal. Instead of saying, I don't want a divorce, let's just forget the whole thing. I don't want to talk, even she doesn't want to be with him, okay? He just says he doesn't want to talk about it no more. And then he forgets the whole freaking thing. Everybody's forgotten about it for a couple weeks. And then he can suggest to her that this is a holiday season. This is the best time for this to happen. And the situation having the kids. You know, it's like you want to go out and have some great time on the holiday seasons? Just drop the kids off at mom's. And she'll take care of
them. They're in Hawaii now. And, you know, when he makes a day, he has to find somewhere to stay until you know, until he leaves for North Carolina in March.
Where is his parents?
In Texas.
Okay, his parents are in Texas, and she's in Hawaii?
Yes, because she, you know, that's where he was, you know, that's where he was before he went to Afghanistan.
Oh, so he was based in Hawaii?
Mm-hmm.
And then so since he was stationed in Hawaii, that's the last place they was, that's where they're at.
Yes.
So the idea of orchestrating a visit to grandma's house would take a little bit, orchestrating with boats and...
he said he's going to send her back to Virginia where her people are.
That's what I'm just saying with the situation and telling the guy, quit thinking about what's best for her and start working on the situation, what's best for the kids, and the process of getting them in a better place. Because if she's doing things where she's actually being in situations of the people are trying to contact him because of the law is involved, this situation looks even worse. Okay.
Yeah, he wouldn't tell the people where she was, and I told him that he's harboring a fugitive. He can get in trouble for it.
And tell him that if the kids go into custody, in state custody, this will be good for him because. Then he has leverage because all he has to do is when kids go into the state, they're always looking for an alternative person to take care of those children. And since he's in the military, he would get first priority, and he can actually tell them where to take the kids. So he's got the impression he's not doing certain things because he knows once that's put out there and done that she's going to turn her back on him. So, but she's in trouble with the law. You know, where's her? So she's in Hawaii, and her people are in Virginia. So she's still in a, she's basically still in a vulnerable place. If she put herself in trouble with the law, I don't have a Hawaii where I know it's part of the country, so.
No, there's certain. I think she got in trouble in Texas.
Oh. I'm just saying, it's like the guy needs to start doing one thing. That's the idea of focusing on what's good for him and his kids. He's got two boys that actually would be more beneficial being with him anyway. What was that?
My niece, she's been playing all day.
Okay.
And she's really tired, I guess.
I guess, yeah. It's okay.
Yes, she's active.
Well, we're getting down there, so we got like 9 minutes left in the show, so definitely keep in touch with us and tell us how things go. If you ever want to sit down and do a private reading, please give me a call. I'd love to sit down and help you out as much as I can.
Okay, sure, no problem.
Give you a, whatever your budget is, we can work with your budget, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, no, you're welcome.
You're on Keen also, right?
I'm also on Keen?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All righty.
All right, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a good night, okay?
Yeah.
Bye-bye now. Oh, she's gone, too. Oh, let's see here. Let's look at the chat room. What do you say? Nicole left. Emma Rose is still in here. Is he sure both kids are his? Doesn't matter. He can still get custody of those children because she's claiming they are his. That's the difference. Well, guys, we're done for tonight. We're going to sit here and get out of here real quick, and we're going to leave you a nice little song. But thank you all for being here, and thank you for all the callers. This is Psychic X Journey Man, in case you just tuned in. We're out here. This is Psychic X Journey Man, Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you for being here. If you want to get a private reading with me, just give me a call at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699 or contact me through my new website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. But do not be intimidated by the prices and stuff like that, okay? Just give me a call. We'll sit down and give you all the details of all the things that are going on with us because we got some really great specials for the holidays. And you can actually get a reading now for a dollar a minute. No matter what you want to do, how many minutes you want, that kind of stuff, it's all a dollar a minute. Okay, because even 90-minute sessions are $135 on the website. But you can get those for 90 minutes for $90. 75 minutes for 75 minutes, so on. We also got some great specials for parties. If you have a charity function, we don't charge nothing for that. We just show up and help you out. Also, with the situation, we do parties. Parties are usually $150, flat fee for parties. And we can do those parties through Skype, or we can be there in person, whichever would be good for you. Okay, if you're out of state, pretty much Skype would be the way to go with the whole thing. Like I said before, they're usually $150. Now you can get those set, you can get us there for a party for only $75. It's a great special, so pop in there because most people are charging like $200, $400, $500, you know, sometimes $600 a party. And we're just, we like doing the work and helping people out and that kind of stuff. So therefore, let us know. We'll be happy to get there. We also got email readings where it's like, I think it's, what is it? 5 cards, 3 questions, $55. But for the holiday season, it's only $25. You can also get, 7 cards and 5 questions, which is usually $75. And you can get that for only $50. So keep all that thing in mind, and please give us a call at 740-500-8863 or 719-344. 8699 or contact us at the website www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And as always, we're going to sit and end this with a nice little tune for you. But also remember, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day, because if you focus and allow it, it will happen. And also give love where love is given, which means if people give you love, give it back. And if you can see, if you can see God in everyone that passes you, then you can see yourself, and you're in a good place in your life. All right? So you all have a good one, and we'll talk to you later. And we'll leave you a nice little tune here called Child of Innocence by Kansas. And we'll all see you tomorrow tonight at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Bye-bye now. All right. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Proof.